Nashville.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our first public hearing is to receive a presentation from the Regional Water Quality Control Board regarding septic contamination of Los Osos groundwater basin and the timing for remediation. And I'll turn it over to the State Water Resources Control Board. I believe they have a presentation.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Roger Briggs, the Water Quality Control Board. You've seen us do lots of PowerPoint presentations and lots of pictures and graphs. I'm not going to do that to you tonight. I think I'm preaching to the choir when I say Los Osos is too densely developed and groundwater is generally too shallow to use septic tanks. That's one of the main reasons for wastewater management problems in the community. And we at the regional board thought that the community's wastewater was damaging the groundwater in the 70s and early 80s, and that prompted a severe enforcement action by the board in 83. A discharge prohibition is one of the most severe actions a board can take. In some cases, it's more severe than large civil liabilities, another stringent enforcement option. Groundwater problems have gotten worse as predicted back in the 70s and the 80s. We've presented that information many times. That's why I'm not going to bore you with another series of slides tonight, although we do have that information available if somebody wants to look at it again. We presented that twice this last year when your project was before the Coastal Commission. And now we have data indicating high concentrations of fecal coliform seeping apparently constantly from your contaminated groundwater to the estuary more than a year before in September of 2003. Although this most recent letter was after your election, we wanted to make it clear what our position was and that it hasn't changed because of the election. We pointed out the recent election of the new directors does not change the requirements specified in the time schedule order that the board adopted almost 5 years ago. That's our board. That time schedule order was issued to the Community Services District and not to specific members of the board. It contains date-specific compliance schedule for completion of your wastewater project and specifies monetary penalties of $10,000 per day for failure to comply with the schedule. We talked about project delays, such as delaying construction to reevaluate projects, reevaluate technology alternatives, including relocation of the site for the treatment plant, that those kinds of things would clearly be decisions within the control of the board. And if you chose to move backwards, that would be a violation and subject to a recommendation of enforcement action to our regional board. Now, will the regional board back us up as we're staff for the regional board? Would the regional board back us up with such a recommendation? I think they will. I'll give you an example. And by the way, it seems that whenever we say anything, even answering questions about enforcement for illegal discharges in this community, there are a few people who complain about threats of fines, that we're threatening people or trying to scare people. But I think nearly everyone understands there are consequences for illegal actions. So I'm not threatening. I'm just reminding you of the realities of consequences for actions. So let me get to the example. This is from the public record from our last regional board meeting. I had issued two administrative civil liability complaints for two cases that were actually pretty similar. They were over $25,000 each. And I didn't think the alleged violators would pay and waive a hearing. That's an option that people have if they don't wish to be heard or contest the item. I thought they would contest it. Apparently, they chose not to contest the allegations before the board. I think part of the reason was they heard the board has a reputation of not only being supportive in terms of enforcement actions, where the evidence supports it, but actually at times raising the penalty amounts. So I had actually proposed settlements from these alleged violators. They had given us checks, and I proposed settlement of the two cases to the board, since both parties agreed to pay in full. And by the way, these were not corporations. They were individual lot owners. So what did our board do? The board rejected the settlements and the checks as not being sufficient and directed me to issue new complaints. So the board, I think, demonstrated just in our last meeting, it's pretty tough on enforcement. Now, speaking of paying money, during the past 2 decades, the community has paid several times over for studies, designs, permitting of one wastewater project after another for Los Osos. Each project has come with a higher price tag due to increases in cost for construction, environmental review, and mitigation. With that project, you've received waste discharge requirements from our regional board that are approved. You've received the Coastal Commission's approval. You spent close to, I think it's $20 million, if not more, evaluating alternatives and designing and selecting the project, and it's nearly ready for bid. So please don't even ask about going backwards for more alternative review. You've not only had a second chance, you've had a third chance, you've had a fourth chance, you've had fifth chances. That's already way more chances than most illegal dischargers get. You need to move ahead. And I just want to close by saying I know that it's been a very difficult process for the board and for the community, and I really do appreciate the hard work that you put in trying to work with the community to come up with the best project you can. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Can you be available for maybe some questions relative to public comment and certainly questions from the board?
I'd be glad to take any questions you have right now.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions?
Also, I should point out I have Sorrel Marks and Gerhard Huebner here from staff who are certainly more familiar with details of the project than I am.
Thank you. Any board members have any questions? Director Shaker?
Thank you, Mr. Riggs, for coming tonight. I would like to hear from the public some of their questions, too, because I might have to follow up with some of their questions, and I hope you'll be able to answer them. There's people who have been waiting to talk to you for a long time, and they're here tonight, and they've waited because there's a lot of questions and a lot of misconceptions about who you are and why you're here and what you want with us and from us. And you can see that we have a contentious issue here. And you can, I hear your impatience, but when you're saying things like you've had a second and third and fourth chance, you're talking to the wrong gal. You know, I wasn't here 30 years ago. And we got an issue on our hands now that we got to solve, and we need your help. And a divided community with lawsuits and recalls and revocations and all the things that are happening is an indicator that we got an issue, and we need your help. And it's not the first thing you want to talk about is fines. What else can you do for us? What else would you be willing to do? How could you help us kind of solve this this dilemma? Is there anything else you can offer? I would be more than happy to do my share to work in any way with you.
Well, we just went to bat for you 2 days ago at the State Water Resources Control Board looking for $92 million worth of funding, so I think that was a pretty significant assistance. Mm-hmm. We've also looked for other sources of funding and steered grants your way in years past at every opportunity that we've had.
Mm-hmm. But I mean now, with what you see and what you've heard.
2 days ago doesn't count.
It certainly counts, but what you heard, I hope, and what you read in our letters, if you had a chance to read them, was this community cannot afford a $139 million loan to clean up 1 milligram per liter of nitrates. That's what we're trying to tell you. We want the loan. We want support for the loan, but we can't afford $139 million loan for 4,700 homes. It's kind of like out off the charts. So what else can we do to solve the groundwater problem of 1 milligram?
Reference many times. We did not do that. We provided comments when we were asked to comment on it, and we said, you pick the project, we'll write the waste discharge requirements. We did that, And it's up to you to meet the requirements. If you don't meet the requirements, there are consequences for that. And so the district made the decision. And there was reference to it in the previous comments about how the system that was originally proposed by the brand new community services district would not meet the district determined. It would not meet the limits in order to clean up that groundwater that you're talking about.
And Mr. Briggs, I do agree with you. I know you did not veto the project. And I think a lot of the community doesn't know that.
Now they do.
And now they do, and I thank you for confirming that. But again, we've got a community divided, and we're not getting anywhere. So I'm asking you, I'm making a plea for you that maybe our board and staff can work with you to try to figure out how to help the people of this town now, not 30 years ago or 40 years, not now. This is what we got, and we want to fix it. But there is major division about basically the type of project, the cost of the project, and the location of the project. And I know what you're telling me is we're not picking it. You are. And all we're trying to say is don't say that, please don't say that picking a different location is a bad thing to do right now. I mean, it isn't a bad thing to do. We're not getting anywhere anyhow.
Yeah, you are getting somewhere. You've made a lot of progress. You're farther along than you've ever been in your history. Mm-hmm. You're about ready to bid at the end of the month. You've mm-hmm. never been there before. So you've made tremendous progress thanks to the hard work of the board. And what's the harm with picking a new location? It would take years. And as you heard on Tuesday, if you were there, the state board made it very clear that if you go backwards, turn around, and abandon that, you're going to go to the bottom of the list for funding.
Yeah.
So it's going to cost you hugely in terms of time, mm-hmm. in terms of affordability, and in terms of consequences for choosing to have illegal discharges that are harming the resources that don't just belong to you. They belong to everybody. It's not just the groundwater. It's the estuary.
Yes, and I just would like to say about going to the bottom of the pile on that loan, I know the loan's been renewed before, and I know we've already lost the loan. I don't know if a lot of the people in the community do know that. And we're looking for a recommitment of the loan. We're just looking for an affordable project for our town to do exactly what you said, to treat the groundwater. And I've read the Porter Cologne Act, and I know that there's a clause in there. I couldn't find it right this second, but I know you know it too. It's about affordability and reasonableness. Now, you mentioned something that's really important. You said the bay and the groundwater is the concern of the whole state of California. And, for instance, so is the Hearst Ranch conservation easement. The state of California, all the millions of people, are paying $95 million to conserve the coast. You're asking less than 4,700 homes to pay $139 million. That's what's the troubling part. And the Porter Cologne Act states that it must be reasonable. Now, that's all I'm asking. Help us get to a reasonable solution. And please, you know, please grant us some patience. Because even though you're saying we're going out to bid and all that, look at this room. Look at these people.
From that point of view, relative to any delays that occur, what you consider to be delays within the jurisdiction of the board, if you will, as opposed to those that are, unintended delays.
Yeah, what we've laid out in our letters many times over is that if the district runs into delays that are beyond your control, then we consider that if there's nothing you can do about that, then we would not recommend enforcement action. That's really what it boils down to, is do we recommend enforcement action or not? Doesn't mean the board couldn't take enforcement action, regardless of what we recommend. And I was trying to point out very clearly that when you've gotten to this point, and to turn around is going to cost the community more money. It's not going to be any less affordable. It's going to cost you way more money. And it doesn't make any sense in terms of affordability. It doesn't make any sense in terms of timing. And to hear someone say, what about just a few more months? That's not living in reality. To change a project site at this point would take years. And so,
please, no comments. Please don't be rude.
I don't know how to make it any more clear than that, but that's just not an acceptable action for the board to take. I mean, you've chosen the direction to take as a board. You were given more time to do that, as I went through in my opening remarks. The county was looking for 87.5% funding in the early 80s, and some members of the community wanted a little more time. So you got a little more time. You lost out on that grant funding, which a lot of communities enjoyed. And it's been that every step of the way for 22 years, including the most recent granting of time for you to form your own community services district. And you were allowed to do that. You were allowed to go through a complete selection process as a new district. You were given that luxury while you're damaging the resources. We've been over backwards to allow you to come to this point without some kind of stringent enforcement action, aside from, as I referred to it, a very stringent enforcement action of a prohibition zone, which hurts a lot of people. Unfortunately, it tends to hurt the wrong people, in that it hurts the people who aren't discharging, while the people who are discharging and violating the prohibition enjoy their lots, while the other folks don't. So it's kind of unfair in that fashion. And to say you need a little more time just is not living in reality.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Any additional board questions? Director Tagger?
I have a question. Thank you very much for coming. I think it's nice to have a face with a name, and your name is famous in Los Osos.
Oh, we've talked many times.
Oh, you and I have met, but I don't think our community has met you enough, and I'm happy you're here. Can I ask you, in your examples of those enforcements and the violators chose to pay the fines, what kind of pollution they were committing?
Sediment.
Okay. And then you mentioned an opportunity that...
No, but I would think the CSD would know.
Well, maybe Gordon will answer that question. Because I have done some research in reading some of the history of the sewer issue, the ponds, I fell for the dream. Hook, line, and sinker. Ponds, parks, affordable, compromising our beautiful center of town for the cheaper sewer. And the impacts of a sewer in the middle of town, I compromised that. I fell for it so that we could keep the people, because then they could afford to stay. So I've done some of that research, and I know now that ponds in the middle of town was a pretty bad idea. It has all the same issues that we're arguing about today, and the impacts are dangerous. It's not a healthy thing to do to your community. But what happened, and some finger pointing was done at the regional board for the failure or the inability to build the ponds, and I think I just heard you say that you didn't nullify that idea. It wasn't you.
Correct.
Okay, so that again was us. The board. I'm on the board now. Something I learned, and it was kind of surprising to me, up at the state this week, we all went to Sacramento. I had a conversation with the staff for the state revolving fund, and I asked him something similar with regard to the ponds, because again, I was romanced by it, and I thought we could do it. And I had also heard not only that you had said we couldn't build the ponds, but that then the state wouldn't fund the ponds. And I asked that staff member, and he said he would have funded it. Are you familiar with that they would have funded it?
No. You know, we have a lot of wastewater treatment plants in our region. Our region goes from Santa Clara County down to Ventura County. Mm-hmm. Lots of treatment plants.
And the state revolving fund funds.
And we have pond systems. We have every kind of treatment system, just about, at least in terms of ones that people think are viable. And there's nothing dreamlike when we regulate systems. They're different systems that are appropriate for different sites. And we don't look... at ponds as a dream or concrete treatment plants as a dream. It's just a question of what's appropriate for the circumstances of the community and the sites that are available to them. Mm-hmm. And frankly, nobody likes to site a treatment plant, especially if it's nearby. Nobody likes to have a landfill sited nearby. Nobody likes to have an airport sited nearby. So, you know, to say it's a community divided, it's not unusual that folks are not all, you know, in line with the same idea about what the best alternative is. That's the norm. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad, but I think people have to understand that you're never going to have a major public works project where people...
They have funded it.
Plenty of pond systems have been funded, but it's not fundable if it's not feasible at a given site or for a given set of circumstances.
Okay.
If it's not feasible, it's not going to be funded.
Thank you. You said that you were concerned about the rising cost of the sewer. I think we all are. And I've asked the board when I stood at that podium, and I'll be asking again and again, but we haven't measured the true cost of succeeding at putting a sewer plant in the middle of town. And I weigh that in what is happening here. I weigh that in that our property values are affected, our human health, our business district. It's the impacts. And then I'm sitting next to two biologists, and the environmental impact, not only to water quality, I know that that's our issue. That's what we are here to do, is clean that up. But we have endangered species, and we have a very, very sensitive ecosystem here. And we have to take all of those into account. And there is some balance that has to be achieved. And the big balance, it for me, is the people that are paying for it. And can they afford their health, their business, their property values? So there are other costs that I hope you, too, recognize. When you see this community divided, as Lisa pointed out, there are many, many, many things to consider when we're doing this type of project, this huge of a project. And again, that downtown elephant really has more cost than I think we ever imagined. So that's a statement. I'm sorry, not a question. Thank you again for coming, and I hope you take some time for the people that are lined up behind you. They have some questions and comments too.
Bert Sugar.
Hello, Mr. Briggs. Just one quick question on the time schedule order. It's my understanding that time schedule orders are usually a little bit longer for wastewater treatment plants, and I wondered if you could share some perspective on the length of the order and the abeyance and our ability to revise the time schedule order.
Well, you don't have any ability to revise the time schedule order because it's set by the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the folks who I report to. And I don't know that there'd be any point in extending the time schedule order. You've already violated it. It's a question, as I said before, about whether any more delays in doing the best you can to come back into compliance. Actually, you'll never be able to get back into compliance because the construction date was 2002 for completing construction, which at the time seemed like an adequate period of time and plenty of time to get to that point. But you've had lots of litigation delays.
I was just told that time schedule orders are usually 10 to 15 years for a project of this type, and ours was only 5. That's kind of where I was going with my question.
Well, I think part of the consideration is it's been a 22-year time schedule from the time the board actually took action to prohibit discharge. And keep in mind that...
Well, that's your role as a regulator to kind of wake us up to that. And I imagine that your entire board sees us as, after 23 years, as a bit of a recalcitrant polluter. I'd also like to touch on the time order issue, that when that was set, and we are currently in violation of that time order, if we were to successfully renegotiate that with the board, how much time is likely? Are we talking about, assuming that we could convince the board to give us more time, in your opinion, would they give us months or years?
I think they give you zero, because I think where we are right now is exactly as I stated, that you're already in violation, and the only thing that's precluding additional enforcement action is for you to keep going without any controllable delays. As I answered Board Member Schicker, I don't see the point in issuing a new time schedule. And for one thing, I think it would be counterproductive because it would probably send the signal that it's okay to take more time. and that's not the case.
As you are well aware, we're still struggling with the cost, and I again want to thank you all for your patience with us as we work through this.
And I appreciate the fact that it's a very expensive proposition, I think it's a shame that the community has delayed, and I think the delays have been one of the main reasons for the escalation in costs and the fact that you've had to fight so much litigation. It's been very costly, and it is a shame, but what I see with delays is that that's just going to get worse.
Mr. Briggs, you touched on fines and fines against both the CSD, and you brought up an incidence of fines against individuals. And so I just want people to understand that those are possibilities, and, of course, the board is not making decisions one way or the other on that, and that would be something. But I know you have looked at various types of and different kinds of enforcement. One, for example, frequent pumping of the septic tanks, as an example. Might you go through, do you have a kind of a laundry list of things that are possible that may have been discussed or kicked around? I know that in Watsonville that the board asked the staff to bring back possible enforcement actions. I think the community would like to hear, we know about the fines, the possibility of fines of $10,000 a day. What other kinds of enforcement actions do you have at your disposal that you might or might not use?
Well, what you're referring to as far as a report back to the board was in July of last year. At the direction of the board,
right.
We came back with a laundry list of basically every conceivable enforcement action because of the possibility of more extensive delays at that time. And you mentioned the pumping, requiring pumping so that there isn't any discharge. And let me preface that by saying in our staff report, we made it clear that the most viable thing to do is to have a proper wastewater management system. So, you know, the point was not to be punitive or to threaten, but the board's position was this is dragged on for requiring pump out on a certain basis to lessen the pollution. But again, you know, to think that that's the way that the district would choose to go when it's just a pretty ridiculous situation to have people hauling their wastewater from their septic tanks through the streets. You know, it just boggles the mind that the district would take actions to force us into that kind of a scenario. And I don't have the laundry list. I think we actually have a list from presentation if you'd like to go through it. However, it's on our website. If you go to our website and take a look at our board meeting schedule, look at the July agenda, the staff report is there, and it goes on for pages.
And I would also at this point really like to thank the regional board and staff for their help with the SRF, the State Revolving Fund Loan. And I firmly believe that without your help, we would not be in a position to receive the funding, the low-interest funding. Because in listening to some of the state board members, they're all, one in particular, is ready to bring the money back to a project that's going on in Los Angeles that he would dearly love to do. And as he suggested, give it to a town that would really want the money. But I do want to thank you for that help, because I know without your help we wouldn't be getting it. And to fund any project on our own without the low interest money, you're adding between $20 and $30 million at least the carrying cost of the project. So,
and that's part of the reason I say to turn around and take a look at other alternatives, turn around, go the other direction. Would just make it worse in terms of cost.
Great. Director LeGros?
Yes, Mr. Briggs, thank you for coming here this evening. I really only have one question. There have been discussions in this community that if fines did come down on the CSD or upon individuals, as you have just stated, that there's been the implication given that said fines would be no big deal because the regional board would return the fines once we got back on track, back to the community to fund whatever project was finally settled upon. Could you comment on that perspective of the regional board fining the community or individuals and then returning those funds to the community at a later date?
Well, I'm not sure what the reference is, but it could be regarding compliance projects where a portion of the funds can go towards compliance. And but with administrative civil liabilities, actually, once the regional board adopts the order with the administrative civil liabilities, that money is due to the State Water Resources Control Board. Maybe it would help to point out that the money does not come to the regional board, doesn't go to staff or any kind of staff funding or anything. And so we have no vested interest in it. It goes to the State Water Resources Control Board. It goes into their cleanup or abatement account for emergency response to spills and the like. The board has, on occasion, used supplemental environmental projects for a portion of penalties. But the caveat there, actually, Gerhard, can you clarify, or Sorrell Marks clarify the compliance project criteria?
Is there a handheld microphone?
Yes, there's a handheld microphone.
Gerhard Huebner, Regional Board staff. I'd have to check our enforcement policy. There is a provision for compliance projects, and there is a possibility, but the general policy is that ACL amounts, fines, penalties go to the cleanup and abatement account, as Roger mentioned.
I see. Some, Mr. Huebner, while you're up there, could I ask you one question, please? With your permission, Mr. Briggs?
I'm not running the meeting.
Okay. You certainly have my permission. So.
There have been statements made in the past that there is no particular hurry for this community to clean up our groundwater, that the data, water data has been studied, and that the water quality isn't that bad, that they're just hot spots, that the we have ample time to yet again look into other alternatives because our water really isn't that bad. How, if you heard that statement, how would you respond to that?
Well, I would find that the statement is not factual. If you look at the groundwater monitoring reports, the data that the CSD collects, and they have qualified hydrogeologists collect that data, you show that the entire upper aquifer is impacted, which was predicted long ago, 20, 30 years ago. So the county data, the existing data, shows the entire basin is impacted. And when I hear statements that, you know, it's just 1% over or 1 milligrams over the drinking water standard, the point is the beneficial use for MUN is gone. When we usually get involved, it's to be preventive. Usually when we see something approaching 50% or 70% of a standard, we usually like to get involved because we don't want it to get past that drinking water standard or any standard, because then we're reacting to things instead of being preventive. So I do not agree that there's just hot spots. I believe that the entire upper aquifer is affected.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman. I may add to that,
Mr. Briggs,
and it's not impacted by 1 milligram per liter. The charts that you've seen, as I referred to many times, there are large areas that are 60 milligrams per liter, which is about 40% over the drinking water standard measured as nitrate.
Dr. Sugar.
Chairman Gustafson, I would like to call one of the speakers forward, Mr. John Fouché, a registered engineer. He wants to speak about this very issue while we're on it. It will save some time if the board would allow.
Thank you, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. Let me sit down.
Thank you, Lisa. Hello, board. My name is John Fouché, as Lisa mentioned. Other than the quality of the first water that is the most relevant to community water supply purveyors and to groundwater basin management issues. If you look at the monitor over there, this is the latest nitrate contour map concentrations, a total of 25 wells that we're using to monitor, and I've stickered 20 of them. Those are first water wells. First water is routinely monitored as part of a wastewater discharge permit and was a primary focus of the historical 1982-1998 county monitoring program. First water is an interface where percolating waters, including precipitation and return flows from irrigation and wastewater, mix with basin waters.
Excuse me, sir. What is your point?
I'm making a statement.
Please make a point.
It's coming, Richard. Just hold your horses. I think the point is what we're monitoring out there is first water and not the upper basin. The upper aquifer includes all non-purged water-bearing zones between first water and the regional A2 clay aquitard. My point is we've been monitoring for the last 2 years. 20 wells out of 25 have been first water wells. That's not the upper aquifer. If you look at the numbers, our actual concentration of nitrates as an average basin-wide has actually decreased from the June 2002 from 11.1 average to 11.0 last October. The average concentration of nitrates as N, and there's different numbers here. Mr. Briggs is using one number. There's two ways to measure nitrogen, nitrates as N or total nitrogen. Two different numbers. Drinking water quality standards is 10. Nitrogen as N is 45 nitrogen total. The average nitrate as N concentration was 9.2 milligrams per liter in June 1982. Today, 22 years later, it has increased 1.2 milligrams per liter, an increase of 13% in 22 years. The hot spots that were just discussed about, or where the contour lines on that nitrate concentration and contour map, is the biggest concentration is right over the golf course. If you take out the one well out of the golf course and go through the process of averages, our average of the basin from June of 2002 was 10.8. And June of 04 is 9.8, if you take out the one monitoring well. So I just want the community to know and to understand the basis of our water monitoring program is based on first water, which is the interface between leakage, as I mentioned before, percolating waters, including precipitation, return flows from irrigation and wastewater, and it's mixed with the basin water. And that's the basis of this study. I have another graph, if you want to see it, and it's actually, it has stayed level over the last 2 years. Thank you.
Vice President Hensley, do you have a statement you want to make on that?
My question might be for Mr. Miller, but I'm looking at the Cleith report, and this is what it says, that changes in the nitrate and TDS concentrations over the last quarter at Networks wells across the basin averaged 0.6 milligram for nitrate and 16 milligram increases for TDS, respectively. Those are both increasing, and that sounds contrary to what Mr. Fouché just said.
Well, those numbers I just gave you are right out of the same report, the last one we just got.
I'm looking at page 8.
Director LeGros.
I'd like to hear the regional board's response to that presentation by Mr. Fouché.
The nitrate September 2003, the average was 12.5. June 2004, it's 10.4. I haven't discussed TDS at all.
The graph really shows it. You're above the standard, the drinking water standard. Irregardless of how you want to look at the data, whether it's slightly going up or down, you are exceeding the beneficial use for MUN for drinking water as an average.
And that's First Water. Let's just remember that. It's not the Upper Basin.
Does Mr. Fusay's data indicate Please. That there is not a problem? Or that the regional board would consider give, that they made a mistake?
Let me discuss the other five wells that aren't at First Water. Just to then I'll finish my point and I'll get
Are
out of
you
here.
Are you implying that the regional board is?
I'm not making an implication. I'm making a statement. No implication at all. And it's all off of the reports that you have been submitted to the nitrate monitoring program.
We have the time going. I mean, this is
yes.
It's not a 15-minute dissertation. No, come on.
That's fine. I mean, I just want to enlighten the community on what's being monitored out there. It's First Water. It's right below your septics. It's not in the Upper Basin. There's five wells in the Upper Basin. In the last 2 years, three have stayed the same. One went up a little bit. One went down a little bit. So all I'm saying is the basin is not changing dramatically. The changes are very small. I'm not saying that we're not out of compliance. I'm making a statement based on what you guys have read as well as I have. And the water board, they've read all this data. It's all there. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I've read it, and I'm looking at about a 14.6 average myself when I go through the data. Mr. Huber, if I might, and I don't want to interrupt your conversation, but there was a statement made that the basin is not increasing in pollution. And I know I've seen the chart that you have shown relative to the study that you've done based upon the data that shows a contrary result in terms of the nitrate pollution in the upper aquifer.
Concentrations can vary based on a number of factors, including rainfall. You know,
9 million gallons a day going into that upper aquifer. And if the water levels are remaining about the same at about a foot and a half below the surface, and I might point out that there are a lot of leach pits that go down 14 feet that are sitting in that foot and a half groundwater, which means you're flushing directly into the upper aquifer. The water goes somewhere, and if the water level hasn't dropped, do you have any opinion as to whether a lot of that is just going directly into the bay?
The water is going to follow gravity. It's going to follow the piezometric surface. It's going, based on the water level data that you submit with your groundwater monitoring programs, it's going to the bay or it's going to your lower aquifer. It cannot go anywhere else.
Yeah. Which I think would be in keeping with the recent letter that came from the program director from the National Estuary Program that talked about the total and fecal coliform bacterial levels in the Los Osos area seeps. As the monitoring efforts have found consistently elevated levels of bacteria in the seeps, often 1 to 2 orders of magnitude above the regulatory limit for human contact. And I think Mr. Perkins talked about the level at Sweet Springs as being almost 4 times the recognized level. I might also point out that the National Estuary Program has decided to stop sampling the seep waters because of high risk to their own volunteers. Director Sugar?
Jesus Christ.
Mrs. Vega, I understand that I have to tell you when I want something entered into the record, into the minutes of the meeting, and I want to enter in Figure 2 of the Cleith Report and my comments about it. One of the lowest nitrate monitoring wells, 2.4 milligrams per liter right on the bay, and the 5 milligram per liter contour line right on the bay. I'd like those notes entered into the record, and I would also like to encourage Mr. Fouché to talk with the staff, Mr. Huebner, about this nitrate data so they can get to some professional agreement or discussion about it. And then finally, if anybody in the audience wants to see these blow-up posters that show these levels, because I can see you can't see it on the screen very well, please go to the back of the room, and those posters will be there available for your observation. Thank you.
Ms. Schicker, what is the purpose of this?
I thank you, Mr. LeGros. I am here to share information with my community, and I'm here to work cooperatively with the regional board.
Okay, and what do you hope this information will tell the board? They already know this information.
I think that it's a really good education for the community, and I'm looking forward to talking about it in more detail with board staff.
I asked you a question. What is your hope of presenting information to the regional board that they already have? What do you hope to achieve?
Is this, Mr. LeGros, the Porter-Cologne Act requires that a project be affordable and responsibly affordable. And we, again, are talking about a 1 to 2 milligram per liter violation of nitrates, and we want to fix it as fast as possible. But look at this town.
Well, thank you for grandstanding, Ms. Sicker.
You're interrupting.
Please don't interrupt.
One at a time.
And please don't interrupt in the audience either.
Please. What else did you want to know?
Is it your hope to...
Some lawsuits, and I think I'm encouraged.
Very good. Mr. Bridge, you just heard that statement. What is your response to that? May I ask you a response?
I'm getting coached. We're always glad to answer any questions and have any discussions that anyone wants to have. However, my statements earlier stand that you have a documented series of problems with degradation of groundwater that is not a couple of percent. It's not 1 milligram per liter. It's substantial. You have, I'm repeating myself, but I think that seems to be the venue. You have public health problems from, as Mr. Gustafson, Board Member Gustafson was just pointing out, if you've got leach fields and seepage pits going directly into groundwater, you don't have any filtration through the vadose zone. That's the unsaturated part of the basin, of the soil column. And that's probably why we have the bacteria that I referred to in my opening statement that far exceeds public health standards, seeping apparently constantly into the bay with, according to DNA testing, the single biggest source of that fecal coliform bacteria being humans. So you have a multitude of problems from inadequate wastewater disposal.
Thank you very much. Okay, this time, continue with public comment. Mr. Barrow?
My name is Al Barrow, and I live in Los Osos, and I'm the president of Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environments. And I'm guilty of delaying this project for 2 years with the federal lawsuit. And I'm damn proud of it. And I am shocked by the misinformation the Water Board is giving. Last week, there was an excavation several weeks ago at Pismo and 4th Street, which is right by Sweet Springs and by the bay. We took three samples, one from the bottom of the excavation, one from each side, at about the 2-foot level on the east and west side. We sent it to Creek Labs, and Creek Labs came back with a report, this is swimming water standards. It meets swimming water standards. Come on, guys. If you've got a broken septic tank, why don't you fix it? Do you have to punish everybody and drive us all out of town? You should have. Excuse me. I'm making my statement. This is my public comment.
Mr. Barrow, address your comments to the board.
I'll be happy to. Why don't you fix it? Why didn't you make the people that were violating fix their violating tanks, if you know that much? Mr. Buell has admitted that he's polluting it. So why don't you guys get new? A septic tank is a sealed box. That, by definition, a septic tank is a sealed box. The only way it leaks if you put a pipe in it and put it out to a leach field. We have a project over here on your right, if you'll look over here. This is a completely designed collection system, a step collection system for all areas of the prohibition zone. This is a completely designed treatment system. The 8313, which is what you're here for, I assume, says that no effluent must be released to the groundwater. If people are not putting effluent in the groundwater, whether they use a gravity sewer, a step collection, or some other method, then they're not violating your order. It just seems to me that you all are got stiff necks, starched shirts.
Mr. Barrow, please address it to here and don't berate. Don't berate.
I asked his boss, Okay, I asked his boss, Mr. Baggett.
And your 3 minutes are up, so if you please wrap up.
Go to hell.
I can't stand you. Next.
Jerry Walsh, Los Osos. Although my comments... Al, please calm down. Although my comments are to the entire board, it will become apparent to whom my concerns are directed. As of this moment in time, right now, not 3 years ago, not 6 months past, but as of right now, you are not doing nearly enough, not nearly enough, if we are faced with sewer-related costs in excess of $150 a month. While in limbo waiting to start this project, you have not done nearly enough to investigate alternative locations for this sludge factory. At over $150 a month, you should have pursued an alternate location that would minimize the destructive economic impact a sewage treatment facility in the middle of town will have on our predominantly mom-and-pop business district during and after construction. Director LeGros' failure as chair to schedule a finance committee review of this project's revenue plan prior to your December 16th board meeting or at yesterday's finance committee meeting is a flagrant example of not doing nearly enough, not nearly enough. How soon we forget the role the finance committee played in insisting on and convincing this board to continue our existing level of emergency service after we transition to CDF on October 1st. Director LeGros will soon be the chair of the Wastewater Committee, which also has not seen the revenue plan. What are our chances of seeing it on the next Wastewater Committee agenda? A draft document supporting a potential $114 million liability for this community has received how many committee reviews? That would be zero. There's been more committee input on the roof repair for the fire station than on the wastewater project review plan.
Mrs. Walsh, the topic is the regional board regarding septic contamination.
Yeah, I'll get
so
to it.
Stick to that topic.
It amazes me that three board members, after the 60-plus page document for less than a week having it, were comfortable sending it on with no reservation to the state board. Did you even read it cover to cover, let alone question any of its assumptions? Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. You have also done not nearly enough as advocates for the have-nots. No matter what the law allows, your barometer.
Passed.
I won't talk later.
It's off topic.
I know, and it's been off topic just about all of it.
I'll get to it. You'll understand.
No. Tonight,
change the perception
Director
the
Tanker,
community
please.
Has to pander to the desire
Mrs.
of the
Walsh, Mrs. Walsh, your 3 minutes are up. You have been off topic. You've continued on. I was going to allow you to finish your sentence or two, but you've gone way past that now. So please.
Okay. I'm just asking you to give these people a reason not to proceed with the recall.
Next public comment, please.
Bobby, you got the cartoon? Okay, we ready? Bobby, you want to get in closer so people can read what they think of us? Tom Salmon, Baywood Park. Before Los Osos succumbs to the threats presented by Mr. Briggs, let us please understand who is really threatening us. This regional board consists of individuals that are lifelong, non-elected bureaucrats, placed in their jobs for political payback by more bureaucrats or for nepotism. There are no requirements or experience demanded to fill these positions. And I have questions, Sam, but I have to preface them. The staff runs unsupervised to spread disinformation and threats to a town like ours. For nearly 20 years, this group has stolen our future and our personal property rights. This outlawed board answers to no one. Last night in the State Address, Governor Schwarzenegger announced the disbanding of unnecessary boards to protect the state and their citizens. He realized that the Regional Water Quality Control Board is one of those boards that will be disbanded soon, according to his plan, in the next few years. Next to me is this cartoon that was written, drawn, printed, and distributed to Los Osos by some of the staff of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And you'll notice it references pooping in our front yards, I have no clue, these types of things. Appalled, I complained to Mr. Briggs. He was not concerned what his staff did to demean Los Osos. When I complained to his boss, Mr. Baggett, the state leader, I received threatening emails from the same...
Mr. Salmon, we're talking about an agenda item.
Right, and that, here is the agenda. I have some questions for Mr. Briggs, okay? First of all, Mr. Briggs, please address the order 8312, 8313, and why your board refused to enforce the need to clean up our bay back in the 80s. And when did the Regional Water Quality Control Board force this time work order on us? Mr. Briggs needs to address the allowing of the illegal dumping of highly polluted groundwater by the LOCSD at the 8th Street well. He knows the water is bad, but yet he still allows it dumped straight into the bay with no treatment. Mr. Briggs needs to address the method of the state funding, the permit issuance, and the water condition of the water being built at the $19 million sewage plant that also feeds into this bay. I would like him to address how that is being built for $20 million less than ours. And then I would also like Mr. Briggs to explain how he expects his people to force Los Osos to pay.
Just to answer that question, and before I turn the mic over to her, I guess I'll address one aspect of the last series of accusations. We've got a really dedicated staff, and we have a group of staff that are dedicated to protection of the environment. So if you're for that, you're on board with our staff. Gerhard Huebner's been working on this project for a long time. Sorrel Marks has been working on this project for longer than that. And I guess I've been working on it for even longer than that. So these, you're looking at the folks right here who have a three-decade history with this project. So if you want to direct any questions to us, that's fine. I have opinions about, you know, my personal opinions about some of the things that have been stated tonight. I have personal opinions about the cartoon, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to express my personal opinions about other people's opinions. So I'm glad to answer questions that are based on facts and information.
8312. Maybe you could explain real quick what it is and then...
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Sorrel Marks, Regional Board staff. 8312 is a resolution to our basin plan that describes conditions for on-site septic systems throughout our region, throughout the Central Coast Basin. It's been in effect since the board adopted it in 1983. And we implement it consistently throughout our region.
Our community was listed as one of those that was under that order. And then I guess 8313 came into play, and that superseded it so that we no longer fall under that order. I know that our community is listed in the list of communities. I don't have the order in front of me, but well, I know we are listed. That's kind of what's been explained to me, is that 8313 then sort of overrode 8312 for Los Osos, but it begs the question, why aren't we managing our septic systems in some sort of regulated program as a community?
Well, as I mentioned, 8312 is the septic system criteria. It's on-site discharge criteria that is applicable throughout the Central Coast region. Los Osos is located in the Central Coast region, so it applies here as well as elsewhere. 8313 is the prohibition of discharges within the specified area of Los Osos. So it doesn't negate the
8312.
The 8312.
Okay. Well, maybe in the future our board, because we are going to have some septic tanks that remain in in operation, we need to have an education program. But I think as long as we're on one, we need to be educating our community. And that's just a plea for my fellow board members that we step that up. As long as we are discharging, we need to be educating our community about what goes down the drain.
And yes, sir.
Okay. Next public comment, please.
Joe Sparks, Los Osos. You mentioned these are questions to the Water Board.
Yeah, address them to me, and then okay. I'll distribute.
The first question is, the gentleman mentioned that they've supported us in terms of getting grants. And so my question has to do with we are going to proceed at some stage to construction grants, and what specific help can you give us on what specific programs to get construction grants for this sewer, or if I might preface it by saying I actually support this sewer, or if the alternate sewer goes ahead, an alternate sewer. You mentioned you support us in getting grants. So far, as a proportion of the cost, it's very little that we're receiving. For instance, the CSD of Spalding, California, is going ahead with a sewer system, $10 million, with a grant from $1.5 to $2.5 million. That's 15 to 25% of the cost. We are getting virtually 1 or 2% of that. So I would like you to address that question first, and then I have another question.
Yeah, go ahead and give your other question.
The second question is, I think the important issue for all of us in cleaning up the groundwater is the date the system comes online. And this is two parts. One is, would the state board allow a STEP or STEG type program? And second of all, let's say if the board compromised, kept the site and downgraded it to reduce biosolids processing in it, but allowed incremental STEP STEG construction so that low-lying areas could come on online first, would they consider that as a reasonable effort? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Buell, the first series of questions relative to grant support, you might, again, very briefly, I know we go over and over and we almost have to do the entire picture each time because the grants are not just only the state grants, for example, in this case, but also relative to what our Congresswoman has gotten for us in the past and started the process, even though it was pulled from this past year's budget. So very quickly, if you could, mm-hmm. run through it.
What we've attracted thus far from the state is a little more than $3 million in actual hard grant that we've received. We have pledges of another $700,000. We may or may not be able to keep all of that as a function of our toilet retrofit program being placed on hold. The regional board was instrumental in getting that $3 million. I think it's fair to say without their strong support, we wouldn't have competed as well as we did. We have been attempting to get federal appropriations. Thus far, our total intake is $200,000 for our habitat conservation plan, and we continue to seek federal appropriations, but that has been less fruitful to date, even though there's been a tremendous effort put into that.
Thank you. Then there was another question relative
to Parks. Mr. Sparks, you asked a question about STEP collection. Only for your information, in our trip to Sacramento this week, the State Revolving Fund staff, again, assured us that he would have funded STEP collection for Los Osos had that been the project before them. Yes, the staff told me that.
Next.
Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos. President Gustafson, I just wanted to ask, the next item is the library, and there's a long line, and the last time the library people came, there was a big, long discussion, so could you maybe take a vote or something to see if they want to come back next time to discuss it instead of now, this time? That's my
thank opinion. You. We have people that want to have their 3 minutes of public comment, and I understand. Next. We just have to move through as fast as we can.
Give me some coffee. Hi, Sylvia Naylor from Los Osos. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. I know we all know this. What is called resignation is confirmed desperation. If you tie a tourniquet on a human limb and you leave it there very long, it paralyzes. And if you continue to leave it there, it withers. And with the price of what is being presented to the citizens of Los Osos, the price of the sewer, it is tying a tourniquet on its limb. And I'm not talking about that it's only tying a tourniquet on a portion of the people. It's tying a tourniquet on the limb of the whole community. My question to the people that are here this evening is, because we are a segment of people who don't respond well to threats, what suggestions do you offer for help for us so that we don't end up gnawing our withered limb?
If the project had been put in according to the original time schedule order, it would have been up and running September of 2004. We were looking at, based upon the engineer's report, looking at a price of $107 a month, less about $3 a month for grant money that we'd already received. At that time, we had already scheduled and had Congresswoman Capps had already obtained 200. We had the opportunity to get it in at the lower price, and 104 is going to start looking very good. And we would have the possibility of bringing it down. If we continue to fight it, it's just going to go up and up. Mr. Briggs talked about that. And if you follow the price of this over the past 20 years, you see it's gone from $36 million up to $110 now. And it's not going down. Construction inflation is not. And I understand. And I just wish there were. I have looked at this in great depth for the last 8 years. I wish there were. And if you take a look at that chart, it goes up and up, and we've got to do something about it. And that's, you know, we can try to get grant money as much as we can, but we can't keep then shoving the grant money out, throwing it back out through lawsuits, et cetera. Mr. Charlesworth.
Bill Charlesworth. I'm a Los Osos resident. Director Schicker. Early on in the discussion, you indicated to the people out here that the cost of the wastewater project was $139 million. And I'm a little confused about that, because the finance report I read at the last meeting said it was $110 million. And, I mean, you can answer that.
Yes, I'd like to. Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes. I was speaking of is the state revolving fund loan that we're going. It's like the credit card that we're getting for the community. And it's $93 million that we're borrowing, with the ability to borrow up to $139 million. We have that ability to borrow that much on your behalf.
Okay. I understand that, but you stated the cost of the project was $139 million. And it's a little misleading to me and to the people out here. And it's fine to sit at this podium and say certain things. When you sit at that podium, at least I would appreciate absolute honesty and no misleadingness.
I'm just worried that you I want everybody to know that that might be your bill. That's all I meant, and I apologize if I misled you.
I know. I've got a credit card that may be $10,000, but it doesn't mean I'm going to pay $10,000. So getting beyond that, somebody made the statement that it would take years to bring in a new project, and people here in the audience scoffed at that and said, no, it wouldn't, prove it, things like that. Back in 1997, the Solutions Group came out with a new project, and they were going to have it built within 2 years, faster, better, cheaper. You can't bring a new project in and have it done in any timely fashion. That was 7 years ago. We still don't have a project. So I just wanted to take a little math expedition here and look what the cost of 7 years has done. The cost of the county's project has gone up from the $69 million, about $6 million a year. So if we enter into another project, we'll go $6 million per year times 7 years, and that's $30 million. I'm sorry, $42 million. The loss of the state loan, which is low interest, will effectively add $30 million to the project. How you get there, staff could tell you, but basically you pay more every month for higher interest. You have a low interest, you're behind from the start. It's simple math. Now, the old board members here, believe it or not, recognize this and are trying to save the community as much money as they can. They recognize that another project is going to be a search for something mythical. It's not going to happen. This is the cheapest project, if there is any project. This is the cheapest project, if there is any project. I mean, I'm sorry. The experts say it. You look at it on paper. It's not getting any cheaper. Here's the chart from the last several decades. I don't know if you can see that. The Water Board put together, and it just goes up and up and up and up. It's in your packet, Julie. And my time's up, but I appreciate what the board's done, and continue on the good path.
Thank you.
Can I Director say Tanger? Something really quick, Bill? Thank you. I appreciate every time you come to the podium, because I know you've done your homework. And what I've done in my homework is look back through the minutes and looked at your comments. And I have to say that you must really feel like you had a crystal ball, because you nailed what's been happening as it was happening or before. One comment that I saw that you made in December 2000, when this board was going through the EIR comment period, your comments about the Andre site, if we had a crystal ball or if we had a way to go back in time, your comments on the Andre site were really the only ones that rang true to now. That was the most appropriate place to put a sewer, and I want to thank you very much for saying it then, because look where we are.
Well, we are here right now.
And one comment I might make, Mr. Charlesworth's comments is, and even though it's taken us 7 years to go through the ponding system and then move to the system we have now, we've been accused of rushing it. So it may be 7 years, but some people think we're going too fast. Next, please. But
Mr.
Not members
President,
of the Water Board staff. Board. I don't want to say that.
My name is Jim Godfrey, and I have been a resident of Los Osos since 1987. And in listening, this is my first CSD meeting, and in listening to these comments tonight, I am appalled at the diversity, the division between peoples. Now, I am here because I have about a week ago I came across a letter written by Mr. Briggs. And in that letter, it raises public health issues about contamination in our area. And not only that, it brings up the signage, bringing on signing points of contamination, which is not really pertinent to this area. My background is medical microbiology and infectious diseases. So I went to the CDC and I went to the EPA and I began to, in bringing a sewer to this area. So I recommend that people work together and put a sewer in. And what I have done is I wrote to the state, and I am recommending signage in areas of contamination. We don't need children playing in contaminated ponds. It's there. There's so much evidence for it. And thank you, Mr. Briggs, for writing the letter and bringing it to our attention. I don't know how much it's been into the news, into papers. I haven't seen it. But it is a problem, and I will keep writing until the problem is solved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Godfrey. And I might point out that there is a couple that lives at the 7th and El Moro, and during the heavy rains in 1995, they had standing septic water for 8 months in their front and backyard. So, yes, it's a very, very, very serious problem. It's one we're trying to take care of, and we'd like to move forward as fast as
well, that's why I'm here to, and I encourage to move forward, and I have turned over the letter to that I wrote, and it'll be on the website. I've given it to Pandora to put on their website so it can be read. There's a reference to the EPA in there, which will tell about my malfunctioning septic systems and contamination of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and it's a problem. And I think that the people need to address this and move forward. And no recall, nothing else, just move forward and get a sewer and get it done.
Thank you. Director Schicker.
Mr. Godfrey, just before you go, I thank you for your comments and your research. I just want to make sure that you are clear about one thing. It's not sewage. It's effluent from septic tanks. And the ones that are in the groundwater, you are correct. They have contaminants, and they're serious problems. But the ones that have a vadostone separation and sand can treat some of the contaminants.
Oh, I know that.
Okay,
I
just wanted
that.
To make sure.
Oh,
You did say sewage, and I don't want the audience to think it's sewage. It's not sewage, and it's not a million gallons a day going in the bay. We're going to stop the river.
No, I understand
okay,
the
you,
difference
sir.
Between that.
Yes, okay.
Next.
Good evening again. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. Mr. President, I'd like to read off of a paper printed by the Regional Water Quality Control Board that sets out some limits for different disposal type things. And number 11 on this paper says, sewage sludge or water treatment sludge with greater than 50% moisture content may be discharged to the waste management unit if all the following criteria are met. Sludge shall be discharged only to lined modules that have LCRS designs, such as leachate gravity drains to a collection point sump, and is removed through either gravity or pumping to a holding tank or sanitary shall contain at least 15% solids by weight. We are looking at something you are trying to tell us that we're supposed to pay $115 or $113 million for, plus we've got a 50% overrun that brings it up to $139.5 million. And for this, we get sludge that is 75% moisture. Now, I understand that the Regional Water Quality Control Board, in all of its wisdom, has allowed Engel and Gray to get a permit to dump this stuff on an open 40-acre field, which is up the water from Guadalupe, uphill from Guadalupe, so it will contaminate their water. It's also downwind from Santa Maria, and they don't like stink there. They had a big fit about cattle feeding lot here about 10 years ago. Anyway, the point being is I don't see how we could have to pay so much for hazardous waste sludge that needs to be handled in a contained pond. Now, Casmalia had contained ponds,
Payne,
had sealed ponds.
Mr.
Yes,
Payne,
sir.
3 minutes are up.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we can have the public.
Am I going to get an answer to this, why they can give somebody a permit for 75% sludge out on an open field?
The topic in the regional board's presentation were regarding septic contamination of our groundwater basin and the timing for remediation.
Okay.
That's all, Mr. Payne. That's off topic, and your 3 minutes are up.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about the public information I asked for about the testing of the water that's being pumped into the bay illegally without a permit that they threatened to make us quit pumping so we'd be walking in sludge? And what about the people in the golf course that are golfing in brown water? This is not kids playing in water. This is grown men. And
thank you, Mr. Payne.
Yeah.
Chuck Cicina, Los Osos resident.
Wait just a second. Director Tanker?
I just wondered if Mr. Huebner could get back to Mr. Payne on that, just because I know it'll take too much time.
Mr. Payne can contact us at the regional board office at any time during our regular office hours, and we can discuss the England Gray facility, and I can go through the permit with him at any time.
Thank you.
I'd like to know who made the test.
Mr. Payne, please contact him later.
Chuck Cicina, Los Osos resident. I was at Tuesday's State Water Resources Control Board hearing also, and maybe I'm just not in fear of those people. The feeling I got was when we're ready with the project, they will fund it. They don't have a choice. That's their mandate, is to fund projects to clean up water. Pointed out to him that there was a little rider attached that would have taken that project out of the authority of the Coastal Commission. A little end run was tried. There was a graph that was put up here a couple speakers ago about the rising cost of the project. No one wants to seem to admit that the rising cost is due to the fact that it was put in the middle of town on very expensive land that cost a lot of money to mitigate. And of course, was going to be fought every step of the way. You can't propose something like that and not expect the community to be upset. I understand your frustration. This has been a long, hard road. We're all sick of it. But it's not just the people who don't want a sewer in their middle of the town that should be blamed for this. Now, my last comment about, or for the regional board, I was at the July 9th meeting, and I heard about the different steps that could be taken against the individual property owners here in town, fines and that kind of thing. There's all kinds of different sources for that. There was one thing in here that caught my attention about one of the cons, the negatives for not doing that sort of thing. Cease and desist orders would require drafting approximately 5,000 orders. That's because we have approximately 5,000 homes here in town. Staff reports, notification letters, holding public hearings on each, and responding to inevitable complaints. It's quite a process. I just wonder if it's really one that in this era of a California performance review that's looking at bureaucratic boards that aren't really helping people, if that's really something that you'd be willing to take on when we all want to solve this problem. We just don't want the solution in the middle of our town and with the most expensive technology that could be tried. Thank you very much.
Director LeGros.
Yes, there were two questions asked there, which I wish Mr. Huebner to respond to. One was in regards to that a septic tank maintenance system would take care of the problem in the community.
It will not.
A septic tank maintenance program would take care of the project.
It will not take care of the problem within the prohibition zone.
Okay.
A septic tank maintenance program does not, it is, and we've provided comments and responses and before. We have this in our fact sheets, which we do have copies of that available. So there's probably a better answer there, a more complete answer than I'm going to be able to just provide you right this moment. But the answer is that that will not improve the quality of the effluent coming out of the leach fields. Septic tank maintenance program basically keeps the basic operating premise of the septic tank functional.
The second question, the previous speaker who was at the state board's meeting of Tuesday was not impressed with what the state said that they would in terms of losing funding for this project. What was your impression of exactly what the board told you?
What was my impression of what board member Katz, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
He wanted this, he directed me to inform my board that they wanted us to direct you to move forward, that there was the time that can take anywhere from 18 months to 2 months, provided that you have things ready to go at a minimum. I mean, that's the process that you took.
I seem to recall one of the board members saying that the board, which is this board is the embodiment of the state, would take a very dim view of another project and not be very, well, it'd be extreme risk that the community would get any monies.
That's the message that I received.
Thank you. Director Sugar?
I have to make a comment, too. I was at the same meeting in Sacramento. There was one member on the board, Mr. Katz, who was pretty sarcastic with the audience, and he was pretty impatient, and he's sick of talking about it. He wants the money for his community, and that is what he said. That's what Richard LeGros is talking about right now. But I have to tell you, the boards come and go, and members come and go, and we are a community in need, and that loan program is there for us. And it has been renewed, and we've lost it, and we've got it, and we've lost it, and we got it since the 1990s. I'm not saying I want to keep postponing it, but I'm tired of the fear. I'm tired of the fear. That's not what these people need to hear. We need to come to a solution. And every time you try to bring up fear and scaring, you just make people madder.
It was not fear I'm implying here. It's the reality of the condition of the current board up in the state. They are impatient. They will not hold the money indefinitely. If you cannot accept that, I don't quite understand why you are just giving the impression to the community that, oh, the money will be there when we want it. I suggest to this community that they watch that tape very carefully, because it was said by one of the board members that he felt that what Ms. Schicker was asking for was, well, the exact words, if I seem to recall, misinformation, misleading the community. I suggest you watch the board meeting in its total. I think Mr. Schicker is overly optimistic, unneedingly so, and without any facts, that this money is going to remain. It is not.
Director Schicker?
Excuse me, just quick comments. The state revolving fund is just that. It's a revolving fund. The money comes in, the money comes out, it goes to communities who are ready, then the next communities are ready. I might like to add that what you will not see on the tape, what you will not see on the tape is Mr. Katz talking to his fellow board member the whole time, not listening, walking off and talking to staff, being very angry and being sarcastic. And I'm going to call him on behalf of all the people in this community that made the trip up there and spent their time up there. Everybody. There was about 50 people who came on both sides, and I don't think they were treated very kindly or respectfully by this gentleman. And I want to find out why. And that's why I'm focusing on Mr. Katz right now, because of how he treated everybody in this community. I don't understand it.
I believe you'll find his responses that they embody the power of the state. And the state has had it quite enough with the community of Los Osos in terms of moving forward with this project. If they made it painfully clear to all of us.
It was very clear and to the point. Not perhaps what we wanted to hear, but it was clear and to the point. Second, I'd like to thank the members of the board that have so diligently tried to solve our wastewater problem. You have displayed great patience and fortitude in the face of unfounded criticism from a very discourteous faction. You have been accused of breaking the law, lying to the community, bad financial actions, and influenced by large developers. All untrue. In spite of these actions, you have displayed great community concern and tried to solve our wastewater problem in a speedy and the most economical manner. You are to be commended. To the new board members, I want to remind you that you ran on a platform that would help heal the community. I have not seen many actions to that end, only more delaying actions such as lawsuits, requests to revoke permits, recalls, and now the threat of a referendum. All of these will only make the final solution more expensive. In view of the State Water Board meeting last Tuesday, that appeared to be very clear that the only low-interest loan they would approve is for the project now planned at the Tri-W site, and the presentation by Mr. Briggs tonight, and their statements concerning Order 00131 and the potential fines for noncompliance. If you still believe that these state agencies are paper taggers and will not impose these fines, I understand that there are 42 cease and desist orders in place right now. It is also my understanding that these cease and desist orders are for the large mobile home parks, several large apartment buildings, the library, the community service office, the community center where we're standing right now, and the fire station. If they are fined, how long will it take for the CSD to go bankrupt? Will you still take credit for the delaying action, for delaying the wastewater treatment project? What will we have then will be an even more expensive solution to our wastewater problems that we, the citizens of Los Osos, will have no input in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. And I believe, Mr. Perkins, it's 22 cease and desist orders, if I'm correct. I believe there are 22. I think it's 22, not 42.
And by the way, you made a mistake today. I had the Sweetwater and Sweet Springs tested the other day, just about a month ago today, and the count was 920 on the coliform bacteria. That's almost five times the amount of the accepted 200.
Thank you for the correction. Next.
Yeah, Chris Albee, Los Osos. I'm going to first address the subject of why I feel we're justified in delays.
Chris, please hold on a second. Sure. It's getting loud and back again. There are conversations going on and having trouble hearing the speaker, so that's good. Thank you, Mr. Albee.
All right. Not the legal, but after that you get poisoned. Okay. Well, for your you would have to drink 2,500 gallons of that water at a 45 parts per million rate to equal the nitrate in 1 pound of bacon. That's a lot of bacon, or a lot of water, let's put it that way. The common sense, evidently the alternate project of choice is the step stage system. And if you've looked at the presentations I've looked at, it's just common sense that it has to be cheaper. The excavation savings alone are in the millions of dollars. And the size of the pipes into the plant are much smaller. There's a large savings there because the effluent from the house goes through the septic system as a first stage breakdown. The state loan, okay. Personally, I have a little problem with that. If we borrow $93 million at 2.6%, I had a I had a realtor figure this out for me with the amortization tables, whatever you call that. The interest on that in 20 years would be $26 million. You start out with $93 million, the overall payback in 20 years is $119,364,693. I feel if we went to an obviously cheaper, more efficient system, that the people in the community here would vote themselves a bond issue, whatever. And if we had to pay more for the money, it'd be a lot less money.
Mr. Albee, your 3 minutes are up.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Allen, do you have any comment relative to the STEP system?
Just real quick, the STEP-STEG system was evaluated in the facility plan. When we talk about a STEP-STEG system, a good portion of the system would convey septic tank effluent by gravity. And whether we're conveying septic tank effluent or raw wastewater, a gravity system would have very many similarities in terms of depth of pipe, number of manholes, and the like of that. Having said that, the Achilles heel of the STEP-STEG system in our analysis was that 80 to 90% of the existing septic tanks would have to be replaced. And the cost of that runs into millions of dollars, and it offsets potential savings of having smaller diameter pipe in a STEP-STEG system.
Thank you. Next.
Karen Hentun, Los Osos. I have a question. There have been a couple of comments by previous speakers about the discharge that's going directly into the bay from the 8th Street area. Stan, you also alluded to the fact that back in the major rain event of 96, was
95?
It? 95. That a homeowner, and how many times do we see that place flooded? It's now up on blocks. That they this project or go to the back of the line. If we'd have put this system in, a system in 30 years ago, we would not have saltwater intrusion. We would have clean water now. We'd be pumping the upper aquifer now. We can't afford to delay anymore. The state said this project or go to the back of the line. Mr. Briggs told us tonight we're done. No more patience, no more extensions of the time schedule order. Which part of this do you not understand? I'm angry. I'm a renter. I'm a fixed income person. I'm a student. I can't afford this either. None of us can, but it is not getting any cheaper. Please stop.
Thank you. Mr. Huebner, maybe relative to the, I think it's the 8th Street, and I know we've got a question whether the county had a permit for what they were doing before we even took over, but...
Well, this is slightly before my time on this project, but my understanding is it was an emergency situation. Actually, had the National Guard. It was something the county had. It was something that the CSD took over when you were formed. We've notified you that you need to get a permit. You filed an NOI towards that end.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
Betty Gustafson. I remember when we went down to the Coastal Commission, and the Coastal Commission said, well, go ahead and form a CSD. That was, what, 7 or 8 years ago. And the Regional Water Board was so angry at us because they had been for many, many years trying to get the project in place. And I can certainly appreciate that after the 7 years or so of watching the community still struggling over the same things over and over and over again. But one of the things I did notice was the Regional Water Board came, they very professionally said, okay, this is where the people want to go. We're going to help you. We're going to support you. And they really have helped the CSD. And I really hate to see that relationship jeopardized by people criticizing them when they've been doing the best to clean up our water. I have my own horror stories about the contamination. I carpooled with a person who periodically, when it had a lot of rain, her septics were backed up. She'd have to replace her carpet. She had small children. I've seen children playing in the mud along the bay. It just scares me what those kids may be picking up. I have some questions about with the presentation tonight. I want to know if it's at all possible for the Regional Water Board staff here tonight to estimate, if nothing is done to our water supply, How long will it be before it's completely contaminated and we will have to get water from another source? And if the contamination takes place, because if people are successful in delaying for another 7 to 10 years, where would we get the water? I pick up articles in the paper that's talking about Napomo Lake, or Nacimiento Lake, and all the communities wanting the water and stuff. And I'm concerned about where we would get it, approximately how much it would cost. And if they go ahead with the fines, which I believe that they are very capable of doing, and I believe that they will do it. I don't see it as a scare tactic. I see it as a consequence. They were ready to do it 7 years ago. What would happen if the CSD is fined out of existence? And at $10,000 a day, that could happen.
The Nacimiento cost, I don't know if you have any idea. Mr. Buell, do you have any idea?
No, Mr. President, we haven't participated in that project. We know that the quotes for San Luis Obispo area are around, Rob, $2,000 an acre foot. $2,500. If it were $2,000 an acre foot and the community needed 3,000 acre feet a year, you're at $6 million a year.
And if it's $2,500, it's, yeah, okay. Between $6 million and $7.5 million a year for state water if we have to get Nacimiento water in place of our Lower Aquifer drinking water right now that starting to lose to saltwater intrusion. Which, incidentally, we knew 4 years ago was coming because it's in the project report as one of the things we're trying to remediate against. I think the third question was, if the CSD is fined out of existence, is there any, and I don't want to speculate on this, but I'm not sure who would be the logical one to step up. I know the county doesn't want to do it right now, and I don't think the Regional Water Board is in that business, so... So I'm not sure that that's open, but it is a very interesting question, and somebody clearly is going to come in and do it. Next.
Gail McPherson, Los Osos. I'm not in the prohibition zone, and I do want to just back up the person before me, which was, I believe, Mrs. Gustafson, who said that she appreciated the patience of the regional board in working with us. And that they weren't the bad guys. Unfortunately, there's been several editorials recently that have said, don't be mad. Don't be mad at this board. Don't recall them. It's the regional board that's forcing us to put a plant in the middle of town. Those are quotes. And that was from Pandora Nash Carner. I read it in the paper. And I thought, why are they trying to rally our community to be mad at anybody? We need to work together. And so that just doesn't make a lot of sense to come up with that kind of an argument. And I really hope that we can dispel some of that myth. Our board has selected a project for the middle of town for us, and somewhere along 2000, 2001, a pond system was rejected by our community rather than to go through the process of trying to put it downtown. They wanted to stay downtown. What part of that don't we get? We don't want it downtown. What part of that didn't you get at the time? I went back through all kinds of boards and minutes, and I've read thousands of pages. The movement away from this site happened at the same time that the people were told that the regional board wouldn't let us build the ponds downtown. Now, the problems with the ponds downtown were legitimate, but it wasn't that they wouldn't. They would work someplace else, perhaps, but not downtown. So while you hung on to the downtown site, we all believed, it looks like from the people believed, that this was something that the regional board did to us. We did it to ourselves, and we wasted 4 years. 4 years. When you could have picked up and moved. You spent, in the revenue plan, $12 million on property downtown. There's a lot of stuff going on, including human waste. But when it rains, and I used to pick up samples where there were sewer plants, storm water is nasty. That's why we have storm water programs. Well, I'll just conclude with the fact that storm water programs are needed here too. We don't have a discharge permit. We were and are in violation, and they've been pretty nice about that to you guys too. So I just wanted to note that you guys haven't done a great job on keeping us out of trouble. Thank you.
Director LeGros.
Yes, Mr. Buell, the comment was just made that we have spent $12 million on the property downtown, the Tri-W site. Would you, what is the actual amount that we spent for that property?
We spent $3 million on the Tri-W site. We spent $4.65 million on Broderson, but we did get a $2 million grant. And then the other properties that we purchased for pump stations and such total around $500,000.
Okay, so regardless of where the wastewater plant would be located, we would need Broderson probably for mitigation and disposal, and we would need the other sites around town for pump stations.
Well, certainly if you wanted to recharge your groundwater, you wanted to, dispose of your treated effluent where it would have a chance of cleansing the upper basin, you will need the Broderson site.
Lisa, I have a comment. Ms. McPherson, where did you get your $12 million number from?
From the revenue plan.
And could you explain to the public what you read about where you got the $12 million?
Well, I just went through the revenue plan, and it lays out how much money is spent on various various properties. Mm-hmm. The other piece of information on land is in the alternatives analysis when they looked at the Tri-W site in the 2001 report versus the Andre site, which is listed at 900,000.
And then I have one more question for you about, once again, about the coliform readings. Could you elaborate a little bit about what you meant? I didn't.
Well, the stormwater is very dirty, and it takes the runoff from everything that's there. And anybody who goes to any community and picks up some water out of the gutter while it's raining or something and starts running tests on it will find very high coliform readings. That's why we have stormwater programs that try to mitigate some of the problems with the runoff. For our community, I agree that we have problems with some of the septic tanks that are close to the surface. So I'm not saying but I'm saying the issue for us is nitrogen, and that's what we'll be fined on, not for coliform at the various sites after a rain.
Mr. President, can I clarify?
Mr. Huber.
Yeah, what we sampled was groundwater. It was not bay water. It was not stormwater. The pathogens that the NEP and that we sampled and we had the high hits was seeps along the shoreline with groundwater.
Okay.
So the sewer, eliminating the discharges, will also take care of the pathogens.
I was referring to
by the thousands of gallons, because that pond is always full, and that it had a coliform count of 920.8, I think, and that's nearly five times expected.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. Mr. Buell?
I do have the revenue plan in front of me. It does use exactly the same figures that I just quoted to your board. I have the 2001 project report. These numbers were slightly higher. At that time, before we had purchased the Tri-W property, your board had set forth an allowance of $3.3 million. You actually spent $3 million on it, and the project report provided an allowance for the purchase of Broderson at $5.1 million. You spent $4.65, but you also got a $2 million grant.
Thank you, Mr. Buell. There was another inaccurate statement made. Wait just a second, I'm speaking. Mr. Buell, when were the ponds rejected? And we went to
Your board went through a series of discussions in winter and spring of 2000. The Oswald project report had been published in January of 2000, and there was extensive exchange back and forth as to whether the ponding technology that was proposed in the Oswald report could prove that it would actually reduce nitrates.
That's right. So we moved away from the ponds in spring to summer of 2000.
That's fair.
Yeah, and as I remember, there was very little comment relative to the site until just about a month before the 2002 election, which it was not, yes, Mrs. Director Tacker was the one talking about it. The movement away from the site was not at the times that the ponds were rejected. That was not the question. Next public comment, please.
Lindy Owen, Los Osos. I wanted to ask Mr. Briggs and Mr. Huebner and Mrs. Marks a couple questions. One, when you refer to this study for the coliform and the two seeps that were taken, are you referring to the shellfish study in 2000 done by Mr. Kitts and the University of Washington? Is that the data that you're quoting?
Partially. There's additional data.
Is the additional data scientific? Because Mr. Kitts made it very clear that this was not a study about pollution from septic tanks, and it was not to be used ever to deduce that our septic tanks were leaking into the bay. I have information that boats in the bay have been seen dumping raw sewage off their boats, their liveaboards. They come into the bay, they go out of the bay, they leave. The raw sewage could come from a variety of areas. It could come from homeless people, and it has. And this myth business is what I'm trying to dispel. That study was not to be used for this information, and yet you are supporting it and using it. So I would request that it be withdrawn from here on and never be used again. I would like to say that we should not be confusing contamination with a lack of drainage. Los Osos has a $20 million drainage plan that does not want to be introduced yet because, excuse me, the 1983 the moratorium. 8312, clearly, I've read it through. It clearly says that we are mandated to put a septic management plan in. In 1983, if you had done a septic management plan, you would have found those leach pits that you say exist, but you won't find them. You've asked Mr. Buell to find them. He doesn't know where they are. How are you going to take care of our water if you won't mandate that the people that are in control, whether it was the county or now this board, go out and take care of those leaking septic tanks? If it was mandated in 1983, in 8312, Resolution 8312, that we had to have septic management in Los Osos, and the very same day you said that we had to stop polluting or discharging from our septic tanks, what happened?
Your time's
we
up.
Would be in a different position today,
Ms.
believe
Owen.
Me. I am finishing up, and I will be done in 1 second.
Ms. Owen, please.
This is the one opportunity
I have
to speak to these people.
Ms. Owen.
Thank you.
You've gone over that one question several times. I will ask him to answer the question as soon as the chatter dies down in the back of the room. And thank you very much, Kathleen Hansen, is it? Thank you. Mr. Huebner, question about 8312 again.
Well, I'll just answer first the DNA. That was a multi-purpose study that looked at the bay, sources of bacteria in the bay. But there was a data set that was collected from the groundwater seeps along Los Osos shoreline. That data is valid, it's useful, and we've referred to it.
And it was not collected out close to where people have their boats moored and et cetera. Director LeGros.
So, Mr. Huebner, I take it you see no way for the way that the sewage being jumped off of boats could get into our groundwater seeps is what?
I've personally watched the sampling and the seeps. And it is coming. It's groundwater
coming out of the ground from underneath the community.
Correct.
In terms of saying that the source of that pollution is people dumping their sewage off of boats, there's no way for that pollution to get underneath the town without it.
Not in my experience.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. This is water coming out from underneath the community.
I have a question. Yes,
Director
please.
Director Sugar?
Mr. Huebner, I just I read that kid's study, but it's been about 6 months ago, and I read a couple studies he's done in Tamales Bay, et cetera, and he always puts that caveat on it about don't use it for septic tank and sewage because it's not meant to be that. And I thought that that DNA study was from one source. I may be incorrect. Is that, I don't know.
Well,
is that true?
We came out several years ago. Mm-hmm. We had our staff member, Shanta Duffield, come out here and do a presentation on this. We've gone through this. Mm-hmm. She presented the results. She presented mm-hmm. what was sent in for analysis. So there's that body of data,
okay. And
you have some data that regional board staff has collected themselves, which we've shared with the district.
Okay, and that data was collected by volunteers that were trained in basics only, right? It wasn't like officially collected or recorded. And is it being collected now by anybody officially?
I suggest you contact the NEP for that kind of information.
Thank you.
Vice President Hensley.
I was on the shellfish tack at the time that we did the DNA study. And the caveat that is placed in there about the caution that's in there that Lindy was referring to is that the point of that study is not the question addressed in that study is not, are the septic tanks in Los Osos contaminating the shellfish bed? That was our focus, was the shellfish bed. However, what we did find as an interesting, when you do a scientific study, you ask questions, and occasionally information pops out of there that leads you to another very interesting study. What popped out of this one was that at, I believe, three, these are subsurface freshwater seeps. They come in under the high tide line, so they're not runoff. They are freshwater that is surface, the right word, below the surface of the salt water. Okay, so this is not, it's not coming from liveaboard boats. It's not runoff from the streets. It is fresh water that is surfacing. That showed a very high human DNA coliform reading. It's a very interesting study. From that point, the NEP has followed up on that and continue to collect data on those seeps. The bacterial levels continue to show an upward trend, human, bacterial, fecal coliform. That's kind of where that study is.
Director LeGros.
Yes, the previous speaker alluded to the fact that if a septic tank septic system management plan had been put into effect years ago, that the problem would be resolved. Well, it would. We would not be in the situation that we are now. And I asked you this question before, and you answered that the septic system, septic tank maintenance plan would not resolve our problems. But I seem to recall that your board, seeing that the septic tank maintenance plan would not be resolving the problem, saw no need to impose the cost of having one in the community, when the main concern seemed to be to sewer it. And can you refresh me on that in terms of, I think, Sorrel, we had some conversations on that at one time.
Well, if I could just briefly review what a septic tank or septic system management district is. It's an acting the water. It's the effluent that's polluting the water. The solids are in the tank. You're pumping them out. And so although the district has developed a draft program and will be implementing it in all of those areas that will remain using septic systems, it's not the answer for the densely developed area and the shallow groundwater areas. I hope somewhere in there I covered what you were looking for.
Well, I take it that these programs can be rather expensive and an imposition to the property owner. And I seem to recall, maybe it was a letter or something where we discussed things that by imposing one and the cost of on this would not have solved the problem for the community whatsoever, that the real solution rests in sewering the community, not in disimposing this maintenance plan. And there was a feeling that the monies would be better spent in sewering rather than enforcing a tank maintenance plan.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Yes, good evening. I'm Madeline Pedigo. I live on Mitchell Drive, Los Osos. And I've got a specific thing to address to both the board, Julie and Lisa, to Bruce Buell, and to the board sitting here with us. I did attend Sacramento meeting, and it's running on TV on Channel 23 times a day. They clearly had the state of California shake their fist at us. 12 years ago, I was a full-time lobbyist, and there are subtleties that you read in the state. Number one, you have to understand bureaucracies do not work with individuals or faction parties getting to vote as if it's by committee. An indirect democracy works that we set up boards, whether it be water boards, whether it be revolving boards, or whether it be this board right here. And when you have them, you lose some ability to have a direct democracy, which creates chaos. And that's what we have here today. So one of the barriers this board has gotten, and it's taken an inordinate amount of flack, and the water board sitting here, I've never seen a government agency, both working in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento, ever take the hits you guys have with such good sports without retaliation, nor you gentlemen. We've also got a couple of people that clearly have represented here at this meeting, and it surprised me, Julie. They were very clear after Steve Sawyer got up. Mr. Katz turned around and said, I'm going to make it clear to you. We want to put this money someplace else. My personal opinion is the only reason they're holding their breath and tolerating any of this is because we're polluting that bay, we're polluting that Morro Bay, and it's going to look like Pismo Beach with the microbe problem. It's going to be the shutdown of Santa Barbara. And somebody will go back to these boards and say, why didn't you do anything with this herd of hooligans out there? Now, one of the things that created that bad impression of us is a statement I'm going to read into you. You pull together experts, and you need to know that they're dealing with integrity. All public office has to be subject to scrutiny. Somebody made a statement. You can stand on this end of the podium and say a lot of things, and they do, and that's our democracy. But you can't sit on that end, any of you, and not be of the highest regard or at least and Mr. Vincent Beebe, both certified wastewater treatment plant operators, provided false and misleading experiences on application. Mr. Beebe submitted for certification. Ms. McPherson pled no contest to a misdemeanor charge of aiding in the commission of this misdemeanor and agreed to make restitution of $40,000 to the State Water Resource Control Board, SWRCB, for investigation costs. Her grade V operator certificate was placed in probation for 2 years. Beebe pled no contest to the misdemeanor and grand theft and aiding the commission of this misdemeanor. He was also liable for McPherson's $40,000 restitution to the SCRB, and his grade 2 operator certificate was revoked. Grade 1 certificate was issued, and the criminal charges against both were dropped in accordance with the plea agreement because restitution was fulfilled within 6 months of the plea. You have been challenged with your credibility and this board's with people stating facts where they are not, in fact, forthcoming with who they are, whether they work pro bono or they're being paid. You're being represented by somebody who has bad credentials and has misled the community and is starting this dissension.
Can we have a copy of that, please?
Yes, sir. Yep.
No. Mr. Sawyer.
Listen.
Mr. Sawyer.
This is incredible. I want a copy of this.
Lindy Owen, I was cut off after my 3 minutes.
Ms. Owen,
and I wanted
Ms.
to take
Owen,
the extra
Owen,
minute.
You're out of
that,
order. You're out of
no,
order.
I'm sorry.
You are
will have
out of
to
order.
Have the police. Mr. Buell knows how to call the police on us. This woman was allowed to speak extra, and I would like to have
Mr.
my
President,
extra time when you were
break.
So rudely interrupted me.
Mr. Seitz.
I recommend a five-minute break.
Five-minute break.
Thank you.
We can come back to order. Director Schicker, please. Director Tacker.
Okay, we were still on item A, and I think at this point, after the last public comment, I understand Ms. McPherson might want to have make some response. Are we rolling, Bob? Okay.
Could you just state for the record that the Water Board has left the building?
Ms. McPherson.
I didn't catch the speaker's name who brought this. I'm sorry, what? Ms. Pago. She read from a report from the Environmental Protection Agency, their enforcement progress report from 1999 through 2001. What she didn't include was that in 1996, after a protracted lawsuit against the EPA, a disgruntled employee had filed a complaint with the Operations Certification Committee, which I was a member of the State Water Resources Control Board's Operator Certification Committee in Sacramento, and accused me of getting my son-in-law a job at another plant. Now, for only one reason. I had a death in my family. It was my son. And at that point, I had sold my house. I continued to fight and pay for attorneys and go through the process. And the DA ended up resolving to say, in print and on the record, that it was a record-keeping problem that caused this problem in the first place. But because of a board that takes personal offense at people who sue the EPA and cause trouble, I became, and my agency became a target. Now, I want to state that my credentials, I'm a grade 5 operator, that was not taken away. I did not lose my job over this. My son-in-law is a grade 3 operator, still at that same agency where he had to go through the civil service process to get that job. No wrongdoing was ever found, and I have the records to show that. Unfortunately, because I paid restitution, it's a matter of record that they got $40,000 between me and my son-in-law. He had gone through a training program 13 years prior with a group of people at the City of Riverside that had been laid off from one of their largest employers, Roar Industries. And in that process, he went through an operator in training program. Records on most of them from 13 years prior were not available. And unfortunately, I couldn't prove he was there, and therefore he couldn't have been qualified for a job 9 years later. The whole thing was quite ridiculous. But obviously, it did allow them to extract their pound of flesh. It doesn't take away from the fact that I have knowledge, experience, and expertise in the area of wastewater treatment. It doesn't take away from the fact that I've built award-winning projects and that I've done a very good job saving money for the taxpayers in the community. And I think it's a very low blow that people would go through and get a document, not from a website or a source that would be publicly available, but from the very State Water Resources Control Board's packet. And I think it's sad for the community that that's where you guys are at. I think we need to follow the facts, and you haven't. One more time. And if anyone wants to attack me further, go right ahead. Go for it.
Any questions, Vice President Hensley?
Vice President Hensley?
Gail.
Before and after, in talking to regional boards, and many of them felt this was quite unjust and had more respect for the fact that I had to go through a process that was so unfair. If you would want to call, I take your call. I understand. But if you would call to the Santa Ana Regional Water Quality Control Board and many of the people on staff at the state, I'm sure you would get a good reference. But
well,
if that not
I'm,
being...
I'm a little more worried about Region 3 than Region 8, but...
And
I'm really sympathetic with the situation you're
Mr.
in.
Mr. President, can I make...
That's not where I want to go. You understand my concern.
Whatever the board's call is, that would be fine with me.
Thank you.
Mr. Sines?
I would just like to make a comment in here. You know, this isn't discussed. Maybe this is unfortunate. I don't know. I can't describe this, but this isn't the issue that's on the agenda. And I think that however you want to characterize this last 10 minutes, that's everybody's can do that. But I think it's time that part of this agenda be concluded and that we move on with the regular agenda and get on with the Regional Water Quality Control Board presentation and final comments to it and put this one to rest.
Okay, we've got more. Thank you, Ms. Pearson. We've got more public comment on this item number A.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I was in the restroom and I missed it all. But it's the lowest. It's unbelievably low blow. You guys can laugh. It's asinine. You guys had a pep rally today. And you were not inclusive. If you thought that you had the answers, why didn't you include those that don't agree with your point of view? All of our functions have always been open to you. You did not want to participate. It's unfortunate now that because of what she did, they're gone. And I did not have an opportunity to talk and comment to them about this project. And at least they should have the respect to finish this agenda item before they leave. To imply that septic tanks do not work is ludicrous. They do work, just not in high ground water areas. That's why they have septic management programs. Mr. Miller, could you construct a pond system that would meet the discharge requirements of the State Water Board out of town?
Do you have any other questions, Keith?
It's just the Coastal Commission hearing was a land use
Well, the problem is we have a topic, and that's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about the regional board presentation.
I think Mr. Briggs covered the history of your pond, and I think that led to Mr. Swanson's question. Could Mr. Miller, because his firm does build ponds, build a pond that would meet regional board standards out of town? That's all the question was.
Mr. Miller?
I have to share the microphone here. Just one second.
I think if the question is, if our firm was asked to design such a pond system, we don't specifically have a lot of experience in pond systems that remove nitrogen. We did look at one project, I think it was even in Nevada, where we looked at a wetlands with a pond system that was proposed for nitrogen removal. I think the best way to say this is my comments on Nelson's option, who has claimed that they can remove nitrogen, I think would be the best comments to refer to. that I've looked at their processes, and I believe that they can achieve the individual steps required for the removal of nitrogen, but don't have a system that has put all those steps together. One of my career goals is, you know, to put one of those systems together, but I have not yet, and I can't tell you that, you know, our firm has put together a pond system that has removed nitrogens down to that level, although we hope to do so at some point. But I think it's the most straightforward way I can answer it.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Next.
Steve Sawyer, I live in Los Osos. For those of you wondering why we're having a recall, it's the exact reasons that we've seen here tonight. You know, when we gather our signatures and are successful, you'll know why. It's unfortunate the regional board's not here. I had a lot of things to say to them. So I'll just go ahead with my remarks, and hopefully they'll hear them. What are the pros and cons of taking more time for this project? If we built this plant in the 80s, we'd have ocean outfall. By waiting, we are one part per million over drinking water standards. Isn't keeping our water better than dumping it into the ocean? Doesn't that outweigh one part per million of nitrates over the standards? Nobody's getting sick. Nobody's dying. But we have plenty of water. If we built in the 80s, we wouldn't. Now we're asking for some patience. There's new technologies, ones that have not been evaluated. There are ponds that remove nitrates. And unfortunately, the one evaluated did not meet our needs. Now we have one. Why can't we look at it? Doesn't the overall benefit of that outweigh one part per million over drinking water standards? We've waited 30 years. Isn't one more worth it to get this right? There's already been delays in this project. There will be more, and they will be beyond the district's control. We could be spending this time to get it right. Let me restate that. Delays beyond the CSD's control means no fines. Use these delays to get it right. Mr. Huebner made a comment. He stated getting fines returned, any fines that we may have to pay, getting those returned may help you. Disregard them when they don't. And just let me finish with this. Why are you so agreeable with them? Why are you so agreeable with them? You should be fighting for us. I watch you guys pander to them. I watch the sign waivers at the State Water Board chatting with them in the back of the room like they're old buddies. It's almost like you're encouraging them to fine us, to show us that we need to do this. And as we've seen tonight, you guys will do anything to get this project moved forward. So what they're telling you, and I'm almost finished, I just have one more sentence. What they're telling you seems unreasonable to me. Why doesn't it seem unreasonable to you? Of course they're going to tell you this. But maybe we need to fight harder, and you need to do that for us.
Next.
Don Wright, Los Osos. A lot has been said tonight about the qualifications and the verification of numbers, facts, figures, history, et cetera, et cetera, and who's presented what, when, and you know, and their credibility in this sewer situation. I think it's been made pretty doggone clear in the past couple of days that the Water Quality Board is not going to allow us to make any different choices. It is not going to not fine us. They also said that they would not only fine this community $10,000 a day, but they had the right to go after individual homeowners. Ms. Schicker? I really did want to ask Ms. Schicker, since she really felt like that these were undue threats against this community, that looking at it from a very simplistic point of view, if you run a stop sign, do you expect not to get a ticket? Of course you do. If we keep running this stop sign of not building this sewer, we have to be expected to pay the fine. And it's just interesting to me that there are some people who would jeopardize individuals in this community and make them liable to state agencies who are controlling us. We are not self-autonomy here. We cannot govern ourselves. We are not a town. We are a CSD. And this is a reality. I think it's just incomprehensible to me that you would be so irresponsible to think that you would put one homeowner in jeopardy of being fined and levied as some legal action against them by a state agency. It's just wrong. And in terms of attacking qualifications, it's been done for years. And it was done in the back of the room this evening to Pandora Nash Carner. 14 pages of interesting information about her. 14 pages, Sewer.
I have a comment, please.
Director Schaefer.
Ms. Wright. Ms. Wright, yep. Could you please come back for the microphone for a second, please? I appreciate your anger, and we're all kind of angry and testy right now. And I would just ask you to hear me for 1 second, and that is for almost 18 months now. It hasn't been 9 months. It's been almost 18 months. I've been following this project very closely, and I helped form a technical task force to study the facts, just like you said. And when some of you folks had that press conference today, we wanted to come in here because you're talking about the facts that we've discovered, and we weren't invited. We were kicked out. That's what I heard. I wasn't there myself. And I'm asking you, please, please contact anybody on the task force. We will be happy to share facts with you anytime. And I'm not done yet, and then you can talk back to me. But and please, if you have concerns, talk to the people. Don't just talk in the microphone, but talk to each other. And I promise to do the same. I will talk to you anytime. I promise you.
That sounds good, Lisa, but the bottom line is there's no more talking about this. The Water Quality Board has stated they are going to come after us. They are going to fine us. And as CSD directors, you do sit in a vulnerable position. If you do anything to delay this board, delay the development of the sewer, the board can come after you personally also, I'm sure, as can this community. This is Directors LeGros, Hensley, and Gustafson, and all of the directors that have gone before have been in compliance, have acted accordingly, have met every rule, regulation, and law that's been laid down by those authorities that rule the Los Osos community. And I respect them for doing that, and I do not want to see this community liable and vulnerable to legal actions. Those men sat here tonight and said, no more. They said that in Sacramento. You were there. And yet you seem to be ignoring that and continuing on this reckless course of creating some legal vulnerability to even to individuals in this community.
I have another comment, please. I just ask Ms. Wright one more thing. Please entertain the facts. And one last thing. Look where we are. We are in crisis and we are in conflict. There are things going on that neither you or I can control right now. So this is the reality of the situation, and I thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Next.
Vivian McNeil, Los Osos. I also attended the state Water Resources Control Board workshop in Sacramento on the 4th. I observed all the board members in action and was very impressed with them. I believe that they asked the right questions. I'm doing his best to tell you and the others that were there that you are jeopardizing that money. I do not want that money to be lost. I want this project to go forward. I want it to go forward at the site that the previous board has chosen. Enough is enough. Too many years. 22 years. Way too many years. It's time. We have to stop the nonsense. We have to stop polluting the bay. And we need to do it now. Thank you.
Next.
Do you know what you're even discussing anymore? I'm Jan DeLeo. I'm a Los Osos resident. You know, everybody's talking about frustrations. And I want to say, since some people were bad-mouthing the regional board, they're great. I mean, they've been very patient with us. As a county bureaucrat, as some people would call me, I don't think I would be as patient with this community. Somebody that's violating, knowingly violating, and continually trying to blame it on somebody else rather than dealing with the problem, it's hard to be sympathetic. You know, I want to remind people that the county looked at two sites out of the town. Before the CSD even got this project, the county looked at two sites out of town. They were not a breeze. They were controversial. They got stopped. To say that this will be the last one. We'll look at a site out of town. We'll resolve it. There won't be any controversy. We'll all be happy. We'll have a sewer, and the birds will sing again. It's just not a fact, you guys. Nobody's going to just all be happy about this. There are going to be complications with that as well. I process permits for the county. Anytime you have a big project, they involve an EIR. EIRs take 1 to 2 years to process, so you won't have a project for a while in addition to that, and there are costs associated with that. One speaker said, well, no one sick, no one dying. Again, is that what responsible communities do? They wait until a good proportion of their population is really sick, and then they say, oh my gosh, we have a problem. Responsible people say, there's a problem with our water. It's been determined by the agencies we trust to regulate our water quality. Solve it, fix it, and stop making excuses just as any polluter would be doing. If this was Dow Chemical, I wonder if Julie and Lisa would be saying, you know, you can have as much time as you need because the most important thing is that you get it right. And if a few of us get sick and have problems, it's okay because we really want it just to be that perfect solution. And how many people get sick or how many economic impacts are associated with that, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you guys are talking out of both sides of your mouth. I hear speaker after speaker get up and insinuate that the board and staff are somehow taking bribes or doing something under the table that they got to this conclusion. And yet you have a case where you have a serious, it sounds like it was almost a felony, with a person that's preparing data for you, and you're upset with us for saying, gee, maybe we'll
talk to you some other time about that, because I think you have some misunderstandings. And again,
I don't have any misunderstandings.
No, you do, because you've made statements at the mic that are incorrect, and we have no time to do it now.
You remind me of an alcoholic that just keeps denying that they have a problem.
I can.
Wait just a second.
I can.
For the people in back, please keep quiet. Lindy Owen. Yes. Everybody back there that's making noise. Terry, whoever's back there making noise. Petey, hi.
I would be glad to answer that, Mr. Gustafson. I would be glad to answer that, Mr. Gustafson. And one time at the microphone, Mr. Leo, I heard you say that we were drinking.
I want an
please, we have counsel. One.
No,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
No, wait a minute. First of all, I don't think we accuse board members, whichever side this thing is, with those accusations. I think that's number one. I think it's right in our bylaws. Secondly, you know, it is permissible for a board member to have a brief response to a public commenter. The idea of a ongoing dialogue back and forth, you know, you need to be careful with that.
Okay,
it's in our bylaws that addresses that issue. I just think we need to think about what our bylaws say and what we're all about.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment, Mr. Seitz, for the record and not
sure.
To Ms. DeLeo?
Okay.
I think that Ms. DeLeo is incorrect, and I'd like the record to reflect that Ms. DeLeo misrepresents my opinion, and I'd like the minutes to reflect that. And furthermore, we aren't going to be talking about people's credentials anymore tonight. That's improper, and it's off topic. And we have to all stick to the same rules.
I'd like it on the record that Ms. DeLeo disagrees with Ms. Schicker.
I have another comment.
Director Tacker?
Ms. DeLeo, you're welcome to come back and respond to what I'm going to say. But you said you write EIRs, and so you... Oh, you said you were part of them. What did you say in reference to your job?
I process permits.
Process permits, and then you know the extent of what it takes to do an EIR, and that if we wanted a project out of town, that would consequent another EIR. Is that sort of the gist of what you said?
Yes.
Okay. What? Let's kind of put this in a hopefully in a neat package. What the opponents? What I truly believe the majority of the community, those who elected me, voted for me to move the sewer. To move the sewer, what we were asking at the State Water Resources Control Board is that they recommit a loan to the project, but not increase its amount, because I'm terrified of... I've seen some historic spending that bothers me terribly, so I'm afraid when we have the ability to borrow $139.5 million, the recommitment, but do not increase the loan. Okay?
What? They said no. Go ahead.
They didn't say no.
Yes, they did.
They did not vote on Tuesday.
Well,
so they did not say
I heard something.
I know what you heard. I know what you heard. But what I'm saying, clarifying what we asked for, and what also was said mm-hmm. by staff, and the board members may have misinterpreted what he said, but I know he said it to Lisa and I in his office, and that was that if this project were amended, mm-hmm. we would... still
start
have
over.
The loan. No, we would not start over. We would still have the loan. We would still have the commitment of the loan. So we would amend the project and come back when we had a new price tag and ask, and hopefully we'd be less. I know it'd be less.
Well, what I heard is you'd have to get back in line.
No, that's the that's
why are we,
where.
Why are we
okay,
doing this?
So
okay.
Let me put
Director,
this back
Director
in the package.
Director Tacker, Director Tacker.
Okay.
You know,
well, back
Director
to the
Tacker,
the EIR.
Please. Director Tacker, let me finish. You just heard council talk about this is not a dialogue back and forth.
I know. I was talking.
I understand
not
that.
Her.
I understand
so
that.
I'm,
why do
it's
I have
not.
To stand here then?
Well, I said you're welcome to come back and respond. You don't have to stand there. You don't have to. What I want to say is that if we amend the project and move to another site, we would need a supplemental EIR. So this is not starting back over. This is amending that EIR. And then you raised some concerns about health issues, and we're definitely concerned about the pollution in the water. But some of the things that concern me about a downtown sewer and this particular design, there's an overflow basin. So it's not if, it's when the sewer spills. The overflow basin is open air. It's open. Raw sewage will be in the middle of town in that basin, in the northeast corner of the plant, in that retention basin.
Mr. President, our
bylaws
call for brief comments.
And that concerns me for health.
Brief comment, not a monologue on the project.
Wait.
Ms. DeLeo had a chance to respond here, I heard.
I think she asked for that, yes.
A supplemental EIR, in terms of processing time, pretty much takes just as long as the EIR, because you have to do pretty much the same noticing requirements. In addition to that, you'll have to get a new permit, because your permit is not transferable to another location. And that was what I was talking about in terms of it's going to take you a year to 2 years, just in terms of your environmental review and a permit.
Mr. President,
next.
Before we keep going, and I know this is people have their opinions about lawyers. I'm probably just going to give you another one. But, you know, what's on the agenda is talking about septic contamination of Los Osos groundwater basin and timing for remediation. And I think everybody is going to be much more satisfied, probably not. I will be more satisfied if we just sort of keep on that topic.
There's been some talk on what happened at the SRF meeting. I just invite the people at home to watch it and draw your own conclusions, because I saw the SRF board say that if we brought back another project, I don't want to get into whether we did ask, the technical task force did ask to recommit the loan but not extend the amount in the hopes that we could build a project for the $90 million, which seems like plenty to me for this community. They also said that should we not, and if they were to hold tight and say the money's for this project only and this project only, we would lose that money and go back in line. Now, let's argue how long that's going to take. 18 months, 2 years? Ms. DeLeo just said it would take 18 months to 2 years for an alternate environmental document. That seems to me about the right time to have a new project. I talked to a neighbor of mine, and he says, I don't want it in the middle of town, but I don't want it to go on to another 4 to 6 years. I can guarantee you I sure don't want it to go on another 4 to 6 years. I got other things to do in my life. And on the last point, on the cover of the agenda item, it says no person will be permitted to make slanderous, profane, impertinent, or personal remarks. Speakers who violate these rules will be given a warning. The president will declare the speaker out of order, and the rules are violated if the rules are violated a second time. I'm sorry that didn't happen tonight. Miss Gail McPherson was not an agenda item tonight, and I'm sorry that that speaker was not gaveled down. If you want to make her an agenda item, I think she's tough enough she could take it, but I was sorry to see that. Thank you.
Do we have any more public comment?
Richard Margetson, I wasn't going to speak on this item because I think Lisa was planning on having me speak later on this, but it's a shame that the Water Board took off, because at the July meeting, when the subject of them finding individual homes came up, they do have the authority, but it was also stated and emphatically by Sorrell Marks that they don't have the resources to do cease and desist orders on everyone in this community and deal with all the appeals process. It would probably end up being the CSD. I wanted to ask them, what does that accomplish? What does finding this community accomplish when we are already, this is already a community that's looking at $157 to possibly $225 sewer-related fees? There's people in this community, and I wanted to address this to them, that are already talking, and I brought this up at the finance meeting, I think the finance meeting or wastewater, that are talking about the fees that will be on their property tax bill, which will be the majority of the fees, paying their property tax, their fire tax, and not sending in the amount of money to pay for the sewer-related fees each year. And actually test the system to see if the county, under the Teeter plan, would have the resources and the ability, because a lawsuit would pop up, to take people's property to fork. And they might have missed a comment that might have been pertinent. I was also surprised, as servants for this community, as state-paid employees, that one of them didn't approach the subject of, okay, you're going to get $93 million. We'll approve that. But we're going to look into maybe not approving the 50%. I'm totally with Julie. Putting a cap on it. 93 is only the $157 a month if you do it on a monthly figure. If you go the 139, you're over 225. That should be their responsibility and their attempt to help this community. So should the State Water Board. They should have never left tonight. Another hour would not have killed them.
Time's up.
Any response? I have no problem standing here.
Okay. A comment?
Director Schicker?
You need me to stay?
Or? I have a question and a comment. Mr. Margensen, could you please explain to the public what the Teeter plan is and how that affects what you were talking about? I think you ran it by
Hector. Either I or Bruce can. It basically guarantees the district that whatever's collected on the property tax rolls comes to this community. If we don't pay that part, they still reimburse the community. My question is, how long are they going to put up with, say it's even 500 homes out of the 5,000. How long are they going to put up with not receiving that money and starting the process? Every agency is short on funds. And that was basically the point that came out of the July meeting. Sora Mark says, you know, we have the ability to fine every household. We don't have the staff. We don't have the resources. That it was one of the options, but it was completely out the window in their analysis. Is it, did that answer
yes,
what you
thank said? You. And then I have a question. How can we get Mr. Margensen's questions answered from the regional board? Can staff collect a list and get back to us? Can we collect a list of questions that were not answered tonight by the people that were cheated out of their time with the regional board? Would that be something staff could do, Bruce? Or?
The board directs staff to do that, we'd pursue it.
Okay, I have a suggestion box on the table over there. If you don't have your questions answered tonight from the regional board, let's collect them tonight, and I'll make sure Bruce gets them, and then somebody can get them to the regional board so we can get some answers. Thank you.
But again, it's the board. I need direction from the board.
Direction from the board.
Well, I don't think this is the place we can do it, can we?
Yeah.
Mr. Seitz? Yeah. Wait a second.
Actually, I think you can. The reason why I say that is this is a twist in the Brown Act, and it's not often used, is that you can direct staff to put an item on a future agenda. So I think a motion to collect the comp at the board, if this was the board's desire, I'm not trying to dictate what the board does here, that the board wanted to entertain a motion to collect the comments and give them to the regional board for a response at a future agenda, that would be putting something on a future agenda, and I think that would be permissible.
Okay, why don't we...
I think we're looking at a project, and I think the resistance is so strong because of the unreasonableness of the project, the cost, just the function of it, the unanswered questions about where the water is going, how are you going to get rid of all the harvest well water? If it's unfit to put in the bay, how are you going to mix it with our drinking water? Why don't you just mix the water now? We've got plenty of water. You're going to harvest it and introduce it into the water supply first chance you get. You could do it today, couldn't you? We got plenty of water. That's what you're going to do. You're going to put the water into our drinking water. You're going to mix it. You're going to blend. Harvest, blend. It's in every one of your environmental and project reports. So we've got enough water, but what we won't have if we sewer out of town and that water doesn't go back up to Broderson, the water starts trickling off. Just like San Luis Obispo, they can't reclaim all of their water. They have to maintain the stream for the ecosystem. They can't use it. And that's a trap I think we're caught in. We got to have the water for development, so we got to keep pumping it up there to flush it out to drink. Pretty simple. So I think there's ways we can accomplish both goals. We can still have water, and we don't have to drink the upper aquifer. We can still maintain the lower aquifer and offset it with ag exchange, but it has to be worked on. I think there's a big rush to get this thing through. And it's because people are impatient, granted, very much so. I can understand. I'd hate to be sitting on real estate I couldn't develop. I'm sure Tri-W is just thrilled to death that we bought their property. And I wonder if they had a reasonable appraisal done. Did we overpay for that? My God, what would they have to have paid to develop that? I'd like to know, but I can see why you need a top public relations firm to convince the community that you're going to pump 1 million gallons of water, of sewage, into the middle of the town and then call it a picnic in the park.
Time's up. Any additional public comment? Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board this time. And there was some question with the members of the regional board staff having left at the break. We had speakers Keith Swanson, Steve Sawyer, Don Wright, Richard Markinson, and Steve Sennett. And I think the question is whether or not we want to have the questions that they would have that they asked. Each of them expressed an interest to ask questions. Whether we wanted to, please. Al, I'm trying to speak.
Sorry, boy.
And you about is we need an enforcement strategy.
Director Tagger, I'm trying to put an issue out there to move along. We, you know, we are.
I know.
We're on the number one item.
And what comes out of tonight's discussion, I would like to see either we go to closed session and have a discussion about how to protect our community from regional board fines, or we have a discussion right here in front of our public. I don't know what's the most prudent thing, but I think that what I'm asking our board to do is to ready ourselves if that is the action that the regional board takes.
Do you have a comment whether or not we should ask whether the people that spoke in public comment after the break want to put their questions forth so they can be compiled for the regional board?
Right. I'm sorry if I jumped the gun. I'd like those questions answered by the regional board. Yes.
Thank you.
And then I have an item.
That's fine. We'll get to all that. Any other board comment regarding that? Please.
Briefly, I'd like to support that, and however we can do it easily for the staff, compile them tonight or agendize it, however you need to do it.
Sure. Right. A simple motion this evening would work.
A motion.
Yeah. Any other board comment regarding that? Before I ask, I need to see what the comments are, and I'm going to ask Mr. Buell whether or not it's doable.
Yeah, that's my question. How are we going to get those? We're going to send Karen to review the tapes. What are we going to do?
Yes, well, Karen has the tape of this evening's meeting. I recorded Keith Swanson, Steve Sawyer, Don Wright, Vivian McNeil, Jan DeLeo, James T. Cash, Richard Margetson, Stephen Sennett as having comments or questions. I would ask Mrs. Vega to record those and then we would pass, if your board desires for that to happen, we'd pass those on to the regional board.
And I would think that they should be pertaining to the agenda item. And I think that's only fair.
Can I just make a comment real quick? I'm sorry. I didn't ask the questions I wanted to ask the board. I'm sorry. I'm just saying
Mr. Swanson, you're out of order.
Sorry.
Please.
Well, it's just they weren't here, so I couldn't ask them the questions, so I didn't even ask those questions.
Okay.
So to go from the tape would be impertinent because we went off on a tangent somewhere else.
Got it. Yeah, I know. Any other director comment, board comment? Okay. Director LeGros.
What you are asking is this for our community to spend staff time and money to compile questions that the members of the public have for a state board, a regional board, excuse me. The questions that these people have, I'm sure, are valid and should be asked and should be answered by the state, by the regional board. Though the regional board doesn't make it very clear that you, as the public, can call them up at any time and come in to see them and talk to them to have those questions answered. Mr. Briggs, Mr. Huebner, or Ms. Sorrell can easily be done.
Director Schicker.
I feel for everybody in the audience who waited this long to have their questions answered by the regional board. And I know what it's like to try to make a phone call at work when I'm not supposed to be making phone calls at work. And they came here tonight, and we're here for them. This is what it's all about, Mr. LeGros. These are our people, and we need to start representing them. I'm not done. And let us please ask Mrs. Vega to make a clip off the end of the tape, ask to collect a list of questions, and get some help for our people. That's what we're here for. And I don't think, maybe Mrs. Vega can make an estimate of time to make the clip, to gather the list, to get it to the regional board and get the answers.
I'll make a motion that we direct staff to get those questions to the board. Someone want to second that?
I'll second it for purposes of discussion, but the first part of discussion I have is, would it be a suitable solution to submit your questions, that list of folks, Karen bundles them up and sends them off, rather than Karen's time reviewing the tape? I guess the other side is that you can include additional questions beyond whatever it was that you spoke on the tape about. Get them all submitted by some date, and Karen will forward them. I don't know if that is a compromise that kind of works or not.
I would have no problem if the people who have questions this evening put them in a box and we just put them in an envelope and send them off to the regional board. I'm just questioning the wisdom to spend hours of staff time to chase down these questions and get them over to the regional board. That's all I'm saying. I have no problem with forwarding questions. I just want to make sure we spend as little money as possible doing it.
Well, we also have some of the individuals here that want to ask questions are still here, so they could certainly do that. And I think there may only be one or two others that might want to do that. So we might be able to take care of the whole thing that way without having to go back to the tape. Mr. Swanson and Mr. Markison are here. If they wrote down their questions right now. And then Mr. T. Cash, I think, expressed an interest in, and Mr. Sawyer. I don't know if anyone else that spoke that I heard express an interest. So maybe we'll do it that way and just have. Oh, I think
you set a deadline next Wednesday, maybe,
yeah,
next Thursday.
Maybe by next Wednesday. And maybe you can see Mr. T. Cash and that.
The cover letter that Karen puts in the envelope with the bundle gives them some opportunity to return and give us their answers.
Should I make a new motion?
No, we still have a motion and a second. Do you want to withdraw the motion and make a different motion?
Does the motion and second include, does it encompass what we've been talking about?
I don't think so. I think you've got an entirely different thing.
I would encourage you to withdraw your motion. I think we can start over and make it a cleaner deal.
So do I withdraw my second first?
Yes.
Then I withdraw my second.
Okay. Now, is it necessary for a motion if, in fact, you could name the individuals? I think you're still here.
Yeah. Mr. President, staff needs formal direction from your board.
Okay. I'd like to make a new motion or amend the first motion. No, I'll make a new one. Let's make it clean. Okay. I'd like the board to direct staff to collect the questions from those community members. Are we being specific? Ooh. Any community members?
Community members through, say, January 13th?
Yeah, but specific community members, the ones who spoke after the break.
Yeah, you want from the whole community?
No.
Well, you tell me.
I think whoever has a question for the regional board has every right to ask it.
Well, they always have that right.
So this... that's part of my motion. Whoever in the community would like to ask the regional board questions, I'm sure at home, if you're watching this, that you'll have questions of your own. So if you can get your questions to the Los Osos CSD by January 15th. January
14th.
Oh, it's a Saturday, sorry. January 14th. No, January 14th. So it's only a week. January 14th. If you can get your questions into the Los Osos CSD by January 14th, Mrs. Vega will put them in an envelope. Mr. Buell will write a cover letter that invites the regional board to come back to Los Osos to answer those questions in person. You can do that on your own. Or invite them to come back to respond, but I guess as a second, we'll take a letter from them.
Is there a second? Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Any further discussion?
My reluctance at seconding that motion is everybody has the ability, the right to send them letters. And over the course of this project has, indeed, and they have received tons of letters. I'm reluctant to open up this particular offer beyond those people who intended to ask questions of the board that was here because of the volume that we are likely to be sending under these conditions and the length of staff time that, I mean, I'm not really concerned about their staff time so much, but the length of time that it's going to take them to actually respond to us. So I'm not as comfortable with opening it up to the entire community.
I share the same concerns as Vice President Hensley. Any additional board comment? Okay, Mrs. Vega.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Can you come back to me?
Director LeGros?
No.
Director Schicker?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Well, that didn't take very long. That was no help. I'll vote no on this one.
President Gustafson?
No.
I'd like to make an alternate motion, that the same motion, but only those people who spoke.
I'll second that motion.
Discussion. I would like to encourage the community to contact the regional board on their own with their own questions. They're going to get more than just questions if they get long correspondence, but it's their staff time that Gordon doesn't care about. So I'll support what's on the floor right now. Just want the community to take advantage of reaching their public servants through a letter or email.
Excuse me, did you say you were going to support that? Okay, I mean, I seriously couldn't hear it because of the talking. I'm sorry. Okay, any additional board comment?
I just want to make a comment, and Mr. Seitz will stop me if I can't do this. But if you're here tonight and you want your questions answered from Regional Water Board,
I'll compile them myself, and I'll take them to them myself on my own time for free, no staff time, no nothing, as a volunteer.
I'll second
Thank you.
That.
I'm not sure that was in the form of a motion, but okay, Mrs. Vega.
Director LeGros?
Yes.
Director Schicker?
Yes.
Vice President Hensley?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
Yes.
President Gustafson?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. President, yes. I'd like, just for the record, it would be helpful if the letters from these individuals were to be received by noon on the 14th. That way we could mail our letter that day. And emails are fine.
Okay, on to item.